much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Do you wanna know why I've never had children?
Because you'd eat them, and children are super fattening?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'm Moira Johnston. I'm 29 years old, and I do topless activism. So I walk around topless in public.
Make love to me now.
I love boobies. Boobies. Big boobies. Small boobies. Fake boobies, natural boobies, any kind of boobies, I love them.
And now.
Oh my God, Kevin and Bean, Red Hot Chili Peppers are coming. I have to hear them on the radio every 15 minutes. Please, 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 please play Red Hot Chili Peppers. Please, I just can't, I just don't hear them enough on your radio station at all.
Any idea where I can get a great big mission accomplished banner?
Our feature presentation.
I guess we could stretch it to 15 minutes. Currently it's 12.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think I'd miss it if we played it that infrequently, though. So.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Wednesday morning.
How hot was it at your house when you walked out the door this morning? Around 90?
Yeah, probably.
It's pretty
it's
warm.
It's crazy times, right? It's end of the world times.
Anytime you see a temperature on the news, just add 10 to 15 degrees for some reason.
For your house.
For my house, yeah.
Well, they're saying 108 at Woodland Hills today, so...
Yeah. Woodland Hills is heat central. That's where heat it gets. Central. That's the worst.
And the Santa Clarita Valley, too, right up there around 108. This is Las Vegas time is what this is, this weather, right?
This is sweet.
Crazy. Hey, here's a story that I'm enjoying very much. Because my mind is turning into a blank slate, and soon I will come in and not recognize any of you. But also with the new Bourne movie opening up this weekend, there's a great memory story in the news.
Excellent. I love these movies.
This is a guy who is a married father of two who disappeared in January of 1987. He never arrived home from lunch. Police looked for him. They found his burnt-out car on the side of the road. Now, I don't know why 20 years later the family decided to start an inquest to declare him dead. They just started to get the paperwork rolling to declare him dead.
You mean the whole time they kept pushing people to look for him, yeah. He must be out there?
They wouldn't give up. Right. Yeah. 20 years went by and they said, well, that's it. I guess we've lost Dad. Doesn't it seem like, well, maybe there must not have been life insurance involved, I guess.
Now mom met someone new.
maybe that's what it is. So during the inquest, a determined police officer did a final check of public records and somehow, and again, never enough details in these stories for me, managed to track down the man who, it turned out, had no memory whatsoever of his earlier life, had started over, and had survived on a series of odd jobs on fishing boats and construction sites. It doesn't say whether he changed his identity or not. Or did he remember his name? That's what I want to know. Did he start over?
He must have changed his identity because if he didn't, they would have been able to track him down easily.
You would think so, too, because, I mean, how would they find him in public records unless he had the same name, though?
Right, right.
So I'm very confused by this. Well, he says, the police officer asked me a lot of questions, started showing me photographs of my family, and it was like a cartoon where flashbulbs go off over people's heads. She gave me a letter from my daughter, a letter from my wife, letters from my dad and my mom. And then, you know, he sat down and wrote to them, and then they started texting, and then they started calling. And it doesn't say that they're back together. It does say that they are in touch now.
After 20 years.
After 20 years, yeah. Doctors examined him and said that he had developed something called a dissociative fugue, a memory loss disorder that often causes people to drift away from their families. And I guess there are lots of different ways that you can lose your memory. And
like a disease of some sort, or...
It says
or is it a mental illness?
A disorder, it says.
I don't know what that is.
Where you forget your family.
Wow.
But I wonder if this guy, I mean, who knows what happened, if this was a gradual thing or a one time where was he in an accident and then he just woke up and couldn't remember specific details about his life and didn't know where to go. I mean, it seems unlikely that something like this could happen if somebody disappeared today, because at a minimum, you would Google to find out who you were, I would think, right? That wasn't available back in the 80s when this guy vanished.
How would you know who to Google?
Well, you would Google for missing persons, I think.
Oh, I see.
And then look for somebody with a description of where you were and what you looked like and stuff.
That would be weird. If he knew his name, then it seems like he didn't try to get help.
Yeah, because all you'd have to do would be go to a police officer and say, here I am, I don't remember where I live, or something like that, right?
Did he not remember enough to know he didn't remember anything?
Maybe.
Maybe he didn't know he had a family.
Maybe he didn't like his family.
I'm wondering.
Maybe that's what it was.
He didn't like his family, he didn't like his job.
I can't remember who I am. Remember those Jason Bourne movies? That happened to me.
And then as a P.S., they make mention in this story about a guy in Arizona who slipped in his office and developed retrograde amnesia, where he forgot all 46 years of his life, forgot everything, had to start from scratch. And this was just like in the movies where he was reintroduced to his wife because he was at work. People knew who he was. He was reintroduced to his wife and had to, you know, they started dating and the whole deal. He had to fall in love with her all over again because he didn't know who she was.
That's weird.
And did he?
Yeah, they're back. They worked it out and stayed together. Yeah.
I think I saw that. It's called The Vow.
Yeah, no kidding.
Crazy stuff that can happen with the brain, though. I mean, it's just like those stories we talk about where you have an accident, you wake up, you can play the piano or speak a language or something like that. I mean, we'll never unlock the mysteries of what's going on in our heads.
And why are you thinking about this so much lately, Bean?
I don't know what you're talking about. Thinking about what?
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBean Show, shall we?
Gentlemen, start your boners.
Jeff Ross will be in
yes,
the studio.
Exactly. Right?
Speaking of boners, right?
That's all I thought right? about last night.
Right.
He's the best.
We also have John Cho on the program talking about the new TV show Go On with Matthew Perry. Mm-hmm. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
We have Jay Roach coming up in about a half hour, who is the director of the campaign.
Oh, looks great.
Starring some no-names named Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis. We also have Travis Pastrana and Jolene Van Voot, sorry, coming into the studio talking about
the way you did it the first time better.
Nitro Circus 3D, the movie, comes out today, by the way.
I hear that's amazing.
Can't wait. We have your tickets for the Honda Civic Tour. We're going to play a game for that. And Heat Watch 2012. We've got you covered on that as well.
Excellent, because we're all going to die.
That's correct. We are all going to die, and that's, I think, what we want to stress. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. I would just like to make an announcement. Beer Mug is back after all of that dieting nonsense, losing weight nonsense. Mm-hmm. His breakfast this morning is Flaming Hot Cheetos.
Woo! Oh, that's the
best. That's what Ryan Lochte eats. Kevin,
so you got that going
before he jumps
for
in
you.
The pool.
Breakfast of champions.
Be careful, Muggs, because your booty be burning, man. That's one thing I know about the Cheetos.
That's true.
I support that decision. That's a great way to start the day.
Well, there you go. That's all you need to know. If it's on Bean's nutritional list, you know it's crap.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. Uh-huh. I just love hot Cheetos. I love them so much.
5:52, Ralph is here. Time for our first look at
I like to wash it down with a big gulp.
Nothing wrong with that.
Mountain Dew.
Sounds great.
Does sound pretty good.
No, it doesn't.
No. I'm not saying I'm eating. God. I'm saying it doesn't sound that good.
Did I tell you the story about Kevin at the Comic-Con?
Yes.
How he eats like an 8-year-old?
Was it the giant ice cream he had after not really eating?
Yeah, all right, I'll have the steak and the broccoli. He takes one bite of the steak and like a little bit of the broccoli. Dessert time. Yeah, I'll take the chocolate sandwich of death and the volcano lava of cocoa world, please. And he's like, blah, 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 licking the plate. Sucking the fallen chocolate out of his napkin off his lap. What? You're an 8-year-old. It's like you force yourself to get through the vegetable part just so you can eat a pound of ice cream.
I do watch how full I'm getting on dinner. Because if I don't want to get too full, because then you can't have dessert.
What? Grown-ups don't always have dessert.
I always have dessert.
Because you're 8.
Always. How dare you? We were talking about mugs, not me.
I know, but just saying. I'm hot just meat kettle. Glass house, meat guy throwing stones. It seems like just every possible Dark Knight crackpot is now coming out of the woodwork. Another incident at a screening of The Dark Knight Rises. A 37-year-old Cleveland area man was arrested Saturday night attempting to catch an evening showing of the film. He also happened to be carrying a bag loaded with a loaded gun, ammunition clips, and 4 knives.
Why not, Bean? This is America!
They caught him before all that?
Well, here's what happened. Okay. There's an off-duty cop named Ray Arcuri. God bless you, Ray Arcuri. Who was working as a security guard that evening at the venue. He noticed a manager talking to a guy named Scott Smith. This is the 37-year-old I was referring to. Manager didn't search the dude's bag. But for some reason, Ray thought it seemed suspicious to follow him into the theater. He was especially suspicious since the guy entered the theater a half hour early and was the only one in there at the time. Mr. Arcuri asked to see inside the bag. The man consented.
when he saw the guns, the ammo clips, the knives. The guy said, oh, I'll just put them back in my car.
Really? Like he just forgot and brought him in?
Yeah. And Ray said, no, I think you'll talk to the authorities. He was taken to jail where he's being held without bail currently, reportedly refusing to speak to the police at this point.
I wonder what he had going on. I mean, whatever his plan was.
I don't know, but he's married. This guy has a young child.
I think we could pretty much guess.
They searched his house last night and uncovered 8 more guns, gas masks, and bulletproof vests.
Wow.
So, scary times.
Thank God they caught that guy before he did anything.
Who knows what he had in mind, but scary stuff.
Maybe he's a doomsday prepper and he just always likes to be ready for whatever comes at him.
Yeah, well.
I'm sure that's the leading thought with the FBI.
The FBI! Leading thought? The FBI?
You don't think the FBI's involved?
Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher are no longer pretending to be just good friends. People magazine caught the two walking hand in hand.
Where's the outrage there?
Through the airport last Sunday after a romantic week-long vacation in Bali. So apparently they are full bloom in love, those crazy kids. You know who else is in full bloom in love? Gary Shirley and Amber Portwood. If you watch Teen Mom, you know those names. Amber Portwood is the drugged out lunatic teen mom. Gary Shirley is the baby daddy. He's a piece of work himself. Here's the thing. Amber made headlines when she said, I'd rather go to jail than go to rehab. She ducked out of rehab and offered to serve a 5-year sentence after racking up an assortment of charges ranging from drug possession to assault. Remember, she said, no, I don't want to go to rehab. I'll just go right to jail. Well, Gary Shirley now is petitioning Barack Obama, our president, to pardon Amber Portwood.
Really?
Yes. By petition, I mean he tweeted it. He tweeted a request to President Obama to get his baby mama out of prison. And he said, I promise we'll have dinner with you if you come through.
Wow. That's
nice. Well, he can't resist a deal like that. If you got a chance to have dinner with the cast of Teen Mom, I think you just got to put pen to paper and write out that pardon.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant mother like you.
Yeah, that was the president's response to those two. They're just white trash of the just nth degree.
That's crazy.
And I want them to do something bad to happen. Rob Kardashian. It was funny. I was talking yesterday about the fact that Khloe Kardashian may be the host of The X Factor. And I said she would be the first Kardashian ever to hold a real job since Rob Sr. died. He, was, of course, the lawyer famously representing O.J. Simpson in the mid-90s. Well, Rob Kardashian Jr. has tweeted that he's about to start law school at USC. He is so excited and can't wait. Law school?
Nope.
Really? That's not easy.
Yeah, he's not going to do that.
Just as an aside, USC's Gould School of Law denies having ever received Rob Kardashian's application. Rob Kardashian's not coming here, they said, but we wish him luck at whatever law school he's attending.
Oh, my God.
I love the fact that this is such a situation that the university has to come out and make a statement.
Yeah. They want nothing to do with
them. They never do that about people going to their schools.
Well, I'm sure the reporters went to them and said, sure. When does Rob start? What class is he in? We want to hear all about the Kardashian lawyer. No, he's not. He's not going to be here.
And they said,
ha, 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 ha. Yes, they did.
Wow.
And I'll tell you, these British people, they got it all going on. It's not bad enough they've got the Olympics over there having a good time. But now they've just announced, British broadcasting company BSkyB has just announced, they are rolling out a new 24-hour channel dedicated to just James Bond films. Oh,
yeah!
Oh, if such a channel existed here in these United States, you would not see me for a long period of time. Boy, I get caught up every time I see one of those movies on television.
Bond they seem to have a marathon about once a month on one of those
and
channels.
And I'm a sucker for them, too. I'll sit through 2.5, 3.5 of them before I get off the couch.
That's a long time.
Bond is turning 50 in October this year, and that's why they're marking the occasion by celebrating this new channel. No word on how long it'll last, but it's a good deal right there. Ah, saw For Your Eyes Only over the weekend. Man, that was good stuff. Today's celebrity birthdays. Richard Anderson, great character actor, was in both The $6 Million Man and The Bionic Woman back in the day. He's 86 years old today. Actor Dustin Hoffman is 75 years old.
Wow.
He looks good for 75.
I think so, too.
He's always looked young, though. He was playing a college graduate in the movie The Graduate, the movie that was sort of his big break. He was playing
And what do you when you graduate college? 21? 22? 22.
21, 22?
He was like 32 at the time when he played that
kidding.
Role. Yeah, so he always looked young. Larry Wilcox of Chips fame is 65 years old today. Actor Keith Carradine is 63. The Edge, guitarist for the legendary band U2, is 51 years old. Ricky Rocket of Poison is 51. Rapper Kool Moe Dee. Where's Kool Moe Dee these days? I miss Kool Moe Dee. Just because I get to say Kool Moe Dee. He is 50 years old. Singer Scott Stapp of Creed is 39 years old today. Guitarist Tom Linton of Jimmy Eat World celebrates his 37th birthday. Nick Lachey of 98 Degrees is 36 years old. How ironic, because currently it's 98 degrees outside the parking lot, outside the studio here. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
The spirits when they need you. This life is more than just a read-through.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 12 minutes after 6.
It's a message for the young lady who called the Afro line. Don't mock us about playing the Red Hot Chili Peppers, because we'll do it again. We'll that goes for everyone else who's listening right now that's thinking about calling and making the same joke. You call and threaten us about playing the Chili Peppers. We'll do it, okay?
We'll do it again right now.
We got no qualms about playing it back-to-back either. All right, we got a huge Kevin and Bean Show. We're waiting for director Jay Roach here. He should be joining us in just a minute behind the new campaign film. But we got a lot of show ahead today, including highlights from the Olympics, of course, which it seems like they've been going on for about a month. But I think we're only just into week two, right?
It does seem we're just past halfway, I think, right?
Is it a whole month?
Maybe we're further than halfway, but
I just feel like I can't remember a time when the Olympics weren't on.
Yeah, it does seem like
it's full time.
It does seem like we should have seen the closing ceremonies by now.
Also, the Roastmaster General Jeff Ross is going to be in studio talking about his new show, which looks awesome, by the way. Actor John Cho is going to be on, so we can apologize to him for how embarrassing Beer Mug was on the red carpet
what
the other night.
What was that question that you asked him?
Did the women
love you?
Oh, that's because of your, right.
Because of your Asian persuasion?
Your Asian persuasion?
Oh, my God.
So we'll apologize to John, who, of course, we love having on the show. Adam Carolla on the program today. We got Honda Civic Tour tickets. That's coming up. And, Kevin, I know tonight you're going to be at the Travis Pastrana and Jolene Van Voot movie.
I think you know
Nitro
I
Circus
am.
3D, which I know you've been looking forward to for a long time. I'm hearing amazing things about it, and both of them are going to be joining us in studio. All right, it looks like they're getting Jay on the line here. Very excited about this campaign, by the way.
Me too.
I'm with you that it's hard for me to get excited about anything having to do with politics at this point.
Yeah, because it's all so dirty and ugly and stupid. It's ridiculous.
You can't believe anything anybody says.
Right. They all lie. Both sides are ridiculous. And I don't want to watch anything having to do with politics. But this is Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean,
you can't go wrong there.
Really, that's a recipe for success right there.
Well, I know Jay Roach has said it himself in interviews leading up to this movie, is what's crazier than real politics? I mean, talk about something that's sort of hard to parody, but he manages to do it with the help of those great actors. Jay, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, it's good to be here. Good morning.
You know, I've been seeing your interviews leading up to this thing, and I know you did the Game Change movie and the Recount movie, and obviously you are a fan of something to do with politics, but how can you not have had enough of it by now?
Well, there's something about politics, the kind of cage fight, you know, professional wrestling thing it's become, that I can't turn away from it. I'm fascinated by how it's gone sort of so far off the rails in terms of negative campaigning and the craziness of the campaign ads, especially. So I'm just like anybody else. I'm just trying to figure it out, but also in this case, in the case of the campaign, sort of have some fun at the system's expense.
How did this come together? Did they come to you? Did you go to them?
Yeah, Will and Zach, who you know are just two of the funniest people on the planet. I've worked with both of them, Will and Austin Powers, and Zach and Jennifer Schmucks, came to me and said, "We want to go at each other." I'd heard them sort of trash talk each other in funny bit they do off camera, and they said, "We want to find some arena for that." And I think Adam McKay said to them, the guy, you know, the Funnier Die guy,
yeah, he's great.
Great films himself, said, "You know, why don't you do it in politics? That's the perfect arena." So. So I jumped in, you know, just based on a couple paragraphs of about them just saying, yeah, we want to go at each other in North Carolinian politics. So I was in.
Of course. But these two, I mean, we agree, and we've said it many times on our show, I don't think there are two funnier guys in the world today than Will and Zach. Working with them, though, directing them, must be like wrangling cats. Like, how do you ever get them to focus? Because it seems like they're just all over the place all the time.
They bring out something in each other, which I think is kind of amazing. And the good comedy duos, you know, you can sort of sense that you're getting something else, some other weird you know, alchemy, because Zach is so strange, you know, and so off-center, and Will is so sort of, you know, it seems really available and accessible. And once they start going at each other, you know, something else emerges from each other. So I just love the weird chemistry of it. And, yeah, we just let them run. And we had a good script, and they would always nail that first. Then we had alt lines that we would try. And then we just let them go. And it was often...
How so far is the
stop?
I was going to say, how far is the finished product from the script?
It's pretty far. We, you know, the story was the same. We kept trying new things all along, and it evolved. But a lot of the great scenes, like there's a scene where Will is accused of not being religious enough, and another great improviser, Jason Sudeikis, helps him say the Lord's Prayer by giving him sign language across the room to drop them. That's an example of stuff that was all improvised.
Your mention of him not being religious enough, and I understand Zach Galifianakis kind of has to have his whole history reinvented and everything about his life needs to be changed, because once you're a political candidate, there's so much scrutiny on the movie you go to, the car you drive, what you eat, yeah, how you shake hands, what your hair looks like. I mean, it's almost like you have to be some sort of a robot to be able to pass muster to run for political office these days, right?
Yeah, it's true. One of my favorite scenes is this debate where Zach pulls out something Will wrote in the second grade and swears that it proves he's a communist. End of the rainbow. And then a riot ensues, you know. So, yeah, anything you have in your past can be turned into great fodder for crazy campaign claims.
Well, one of the things that I do love about it, as I understand, if I'm correct about this, Jay, is that you're nonpartisan in this movie. You're kind of making fun of all sorts of political stripes.
Oh,
it's
sure.
Not. It's definitely not an Oliver Stone movie. I mean, you definitely are taking shots at both sides, because both of them are doing the exact same crazy things, right?
Yeah, Will Ferrell's character is a kind of slacker Democrat who's got a little bit of John Edwards in there, a little bit of Congressman Anthony Weiner in there, and Zach is an upstart Republican, and they're both ill-equipped for public office. But they, you know, as people who are ill-equipped in our system get thrust forward, sometimes they go at each other pretty crazily.
Well, all I know is the movie's coming out close enough to the election that there are going to be some people who are going to go into the voting booth in November, and they're going to say no to Mitt Romney, they're going to say no to Barack Obama, and they're going to write in Cam Brady and Marty Huggins, your characters from this film, because we're going to go, it would be so much more fun to live in America with those guys.
What
running
a great
things.
Country if they were in charge.
Or if that's true, we're in serious trouble.
The website is thecampaignmovie.com. Director, producer Jay Roach on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Please go see it. It opens up everywhere this weekend. Jay, thanks a lot for coming on, man.
Thanks, Kevin and Bean and Lisa. Thanks.
Settle Down, No Doubt, Push and Shove, the new album out September 25th. How about the Kevin and Bean Afro Line on the air right now? Thanks to you and your calls 24/7. We've got an answer machine, voicemail, set up for you to leave messages for the program. Maybe you got a comment about something that we're talking about or something that we're not talking about. 323-520-AFRO. That is our number. What are the peeps talking about today?
Well, in the case number one, they're talking about what we're talking about.
I'm calling to see if you fired the beer mug yet.
That's it. That was the whole reason to call.
Still working on it, buddy. Still working on it.
Talking about the Olympics.
So I just read an interview where Olympic swimmer Ryan Lochte said he likes girls who wear white pants.
See, because if you don't know the story behind that, it's science. It's not just a theory. Girls that wear white pants, let's say you're going over to their house, they'll let you in through the back door.
Or let's say you live in a harbor.
Let's just stick with the house.
Oh, all right.
If you don't mind. I don't know exactly what I did to earn this, but I'm sure that was something.
Kevin Ryder, you f***ing frustrate me.
No idea why.
Yeah, well, I feel been, that way a lot.
So. Could have been any day, sure. Any conversation
Lisa,
that they heard.
Stop it.
Seriously.
Come on now. This guy's very happy with the Olympics.
Oh, my God. Have you been watching Olympic women's beach volleyball? I haven't had to watch porn for a week. USA, USA, USA.
I will tell you one thing that I noticed is there's more ass padding pat it. You know, you pat someone on the ass.
Yeah, yeah.
Then football or any other sport anywhere.
They're very touchy.
They love to touch each other's butts.
And I don't want to be, I don't want to be marked as unpatriotic when I say this, but I was a little bit disappointed to see Brazil get knocked out in favor of the USA. I will tell you that, women's beach volleyball. I much more enjoy watching the Brazilian team than the USA team. Sorry.
The US team has been the best in the world forever.
They're fantastic. They're great.
But if you're looking for sex appeal, it's not as good
as... The Olympics are not really looking for sex appeal.
You are.
Really?
As it turns out.
You're not.
I'm not.
We are.
All right. Hey, bitches, when are you coming out to Texas?
I don't think ever.
That's not on the calendar currently, but we'll get back to you.
This is for you, Bean. Very specific.
God damn it, Bean! If you have to start a sentence with, I mean this in a creepy way, then it's creepy, all right? It's f***ing creepy.
She's right.
I'll make a note of it.
I don't mean this in a creepy way. Does mean what follows is going to be creepy. Now, she's not sure we got the message, so she called back.
Bean, you're a dick.
Wow.
All right, take it easy. Now, we do have a crazy woman that calls from time to time.
She should call more.
And by crazy, I'm talking full-blown crazy, not just, oh, I think she might be crazy as a joke.
Barack Obama is the one who paid for Eva Lesnick's piano lessons, and he keeps referring to the Jewish community as fun.
There's no chance she's just clowning us. I mean, this is deep mental illness you're diagnosing?
Well, I've got a few more. You want to hear them?
Okay.
I just can't be bullied.
She just can't be bullied. She wanted us to know that, Bean.
Okay.
Jewish people drink wine their whole lives, so it's not like I would have gotten drunk or anything.
Don't know.
What? I have no idea what the context is for that.
Don't have any idea?
Ask to see the rings. Charles Manson and I got the Kardashians.
Okay.
You tell me, full-on crazy?
I don't know what's happening here.
I think Bean might actually be the master villain Bane from the Batman mythology. Here's what they have in common. Both are from an island. Both carry a teddy bear. Both possess genius-level intellect. Both have an eidetic memory. And both are the bane of our existence. I will now refer to your show as the Kevin and Bane Show.
Oh, that hurts.
It was a long setup, but it was worth it in the end. 3-2-3-5. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, the Beastie Boys. Kevin and Bean Show, 20 till 7.
Can I get an amen on best Beastie Boys song ever?
Yes. Amen. I'm sorry. Amen.
Okay, good. I agree. So I'm watching the KNBC Channel 4 news today, and I laughed out loud when the reporters sitting in their nice air-conditioned studio throw it out to the poor loser who has to cover the heat watch all day long today. Tony Ginyard was her name today, and they put her, I don't know, she was out in front of a swimming pool in the Inland Empire, and she started bitching from second one. She's like, oh, I guess I just have to accept that I got to be sweaty and miserable all day out here. I mean, you could really see how ticked she was that she's the one who had to cover the heat. But this is what these TV stations do, is we don't know it's hot, so they have to send somebody out standing in the direct sunlight to tell us, hey guys, it's hot out here, be careful.
Oh, but that's not all. They also then interview people about how hot it is, and people have nothing to say except for it's hot. So why do they do this story at all? Here's a little bit of CBS2's coverage of the Heat Watch 2012.
Doctors across the Southland are sounding a warning about the need to keep cool. But if you don't have air conditioning, that could be a big challenge. CBS2's Amanda Burden is live in Boyle Heights with tips that could be lifesavers. Amanda.
Today's extreme heat, it just gets trapped in people's homes, especially upstairs. And while some people don't mind this hot weather, a lot of folks here who don't have air conditioning are feeling the burn.
Room feels like a sauna. That's how hot it is.
Okay, so that's all they use from that guy.
Okay, but before you even get to that guy, they have someone on TV telling us that it's hot inside the house when it's 108 degrees out. It's hot inside the house if you don't have air conditioning. That's on the news.
That's correct. Yes.
Mario Chavez says his AC unit was stolen 2 weeks ago. Without it...
It's like a jail. It feels like a prison.
I got news for you.
And he knows.
There's one thing worse than that in prison.
It's very, very hot, and it's
Muggy.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for that update. So those are the people. I don't know. Bean and I have talked about this many times. Most of the time, if we pre-tape an interview and they suck, we don't air it. But with the news, I guess it's expensive enough that if you get interviewed, you get put on the news.
Every time.
And they everything don't have, goes. They have nothing to say ever.
I don't understand how people already know it's hot. What's right. the news doing with 20 minutes out of every 30 telling us it's hot?
I don't know, but if they're doing it, we have to do it as well. So we have got our guy, Doug Kriegel, out of retirement again.
This is great.
To take a look at the heat and what's going on out there. Doug, can you hear us?
Yeah, it's Kevin and Bean. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
What?
We can hear the first part of every sentence, Doug.
I'm outside here, and I have to tell you, it is already, even at this early hour, it's very, very warm.
It is hot, yes.
It is not hot yet.
Not hot.
But
it's not
warm.
It is
warm. I am watching the heat, and as yet, it is not hot, but it is warm, and the sun is just peeking over the horizon, and it's horrible.
Is that, do you have more trouble breathing when it's hot, Doug?
I do, actually, so I appreciate you putting me in here.
Now, Doug, of course, covered stories like this for decades in local television, but since he's retired, he only does Heat Watch for us, and we really appreciate you keeping us posted. Are there any tips that you have for our listeners as to what they should do if it's, in fact, hot out, Mr. Kriegel?
Absolutely. We talked to a panel of doctors and several climate scientists, and they say when it's this hot, you should try to stay cool.
Okay. That's probably one's natural reaction.
Yes.
Okay.
Also, hydration is very important, so you should drink something.
Okay, so you're saying drink something and stay cool.
Stay cool.
Also,
the
sun is hot.
Right.
Try to stay out of the direct sunlight, finding some sort of shade.
Okay. Shade. All right, writing this down. This is good stuff.
This is good stuff.
And we should let our kids and our dogs stay in parked cars with the windows rolled up?
No. God, no.
Oh, don't do that.
Do the opposite of that.
Do the opposite of that because it's hot out.
Put your children and your dogs in something not a car.
Okay. Could you be more specific?
A bicycle or an open air wagon.
I see.
Triple temperatures are predicted for San Fernando, Santa Clarita, and the Antelope Valley.
And I'm sorry, and the what?
The Antelope Valley.
I can't. I'm having trouble understanding that.
The Antelope Valley.
The Antelope Valley.
It's going to be so hot that they're predicting you will not see any antelope at all in that valley.
That is hot. That's definitely very, very
the
hot.
Antelopes are staying cool in the shade.
And how do they do that, Doug?
And staying out of cars.
They should be on a bicycle, right?
Do not put your antelope in a parked car with the windows up.
I don't know how we ended up at this point, but again, excellent advice.
Thank you.
I was wrong. This is totally worth it. I think this is important
advice. It's like a sauna out here.
Right.
A sauna in a jail. It's like a jail sauna. You know when you're in jail and you go into the sauna?
No, I don't think they have saunas.
It's hot and muggy and sauna-like and jailish. Stay cool.
Okay.
Very, very hot and it's muggy.
Yeah. Thank you, ma'am.
Well, bad enough it's hot, but when it's hot and muggy.
6.7. K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
And earthquakey, too, for some. Don't forget earthquakey.
Oh, that woke me up.
The Roastmaster General Jeff Ross joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we have more tickets to see that band right there, Linkin Park, along with Incubus. They're playing the Home Depot Center on September the 8th, and you get into the drawing to see them in San Francisco. We'll do that drawing on Friday. Who's tapping? What's
me.
Going on?
I'm
What's
setting
the
out there? A little Morse code.
Who are you most Morse coding to?
I'm putting my cell into action. Sleeper cell.
The time is now?
Yep.
Okay. Is that why Omar couldn't be here this week? Got to do some
They're
final
surrounding
preparations
your island
you?
As we speak. I got U-boats off your coast.
Ralph is here, time for the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Steel Team 6 is going to move in on Bean Studio. We're going to be able to hear it live.
Double tap.
Yep. This sounds so good. Larry David, he is doing a movie for HBO. Now, I did mention last week that Curb Your Enthusiasm apparently is going on at least a long hiatus, if not going away completely. No plans to make any more episodes of that, but Larry is working with HBO to do a comedy film, and now details are starting to leak out a little bit. The LA Times is a story about the plot and the character Larry will be playing in the film. Larry will play a guy named Lenny, who gives up his share of a new electric car project only to have it become massively successful without him. I'm laughing already just imagining Larry David's reaction when everyone else starts getting rich off of an idea that he was part of. It gets better. The CEO of the car project will be played by John Hamm in the film.
No kidding.
The movie will be partially improvised, Larry says, like Curb Your Enthusiasm is. So we're going to get the same feel of that show, only this time it'll be in a feature film length. So
can't wait.
How can John Hamm do it all, Ralph? He's a phenomenal comedy actor and improver.
Yes.
Plus, he looks like that. Plus, he's an amazing award-winning dramatic actor.
Somebody has a crush.
Who doesn't have a crush on John Hamm?
I had the man crush, but wow, hand check.
But is there nothing this man can't do?
No.
Okay.
Miley Cyrus, she's got problems.
Now what?
And the bitches won. Her boyfriend, Liam Hemsworth, is shooting a film called Paranoia in Philadelphia. Miley is concerned and apparently is right by his side constantly because his co-star in that film is Amber Heard.
Yes.
According to Star Magazine, there were reports that Amber was flirting with Liam, Miley's fiancé, while they were filming the show together. So Miley is not far from her fiancé at any given moment.
By the way, she should be, because that comparison is
Amber
ugly.
Heard, Miley Cyrus.
Yes.
Wow, the scales of justice really tip one way.
Steak, dog food. Steak, dog food.
Dog. Steak, dog. Steak, dog. Miley thought if they all had dinner together, Amber would see how much in love she and Liam are. But according to sources, Amber flirted with both of them the entire night, because she's bisexual. She's got
that going on,
see, so.
Bow, chicka, bow, 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 waka, waka.
Just saying. Get a chance for a three-way with Amber Heard. That's a gimme. Keeping in line with the hot chick talk, my girl Pia Toscano from season 10 of American Idol. Just been announced that she is going to be given a role on Glee. I might have to start watching Glee again if Pia Toscano's on the road.
Toscano was doing the national anthem for the Los Angeles Kings every single playoff game.
I heard that during the playoffs. Yeah,
she's the whole run.
She's a talented girl. Yep. Very pretty and has a great voice. Kardashians are in the news. Rob Kardashian, the only boy in that house full of lunatic women, and I include Bruce Jenner when I say that, has announced via Twitter that he is going to law school. So excited and can't wait, he tweeted.
That's bullshit.
However, the USC Gould School of Law has denied ever receiving Rob's application. Rob Kardashian's not coming here, but we wish him luck at law school, one tweet said. Another said, Rob hasn't even applied to USC law, so they're not sure what he's talking about.
Wouldn't it be funny if he did, and they were just tossing it?
Oh, I remember throwing that out now, yes. Oh, no, you're not welcome here. Maybe he's maybe there's a different USC.
I think that's just him mouthing off about what he wants to do. Probably.
Yeah. I intend to go to law school. Sure. Every intention.
Could be University of South Carolina.
Yeah, maybe. And Kim Kardashian. I'm sorry. Porn star Kim Kardashian also in the news. She bought herself an underwater camera and has been tweeting out photos of herself in a bikini on the bottom of a swimming pool.
Finally,
if she stays down there. If she stays down there, then I will follow her. But I'm still not buying it. Who thought those boobs could be submerged, by the way? Who thought that boobs and butts
could even go under the water?
Exactly.
What's going on in her head where she tweets bikini photos every week, Ralph?
What do you think, Bean? That's all she has.
She's selling her goods, man. Yeah, that's her product.
But how much, hey, look at me, does there need to be? Everyone's already looking at her.
Hey, let's not discourage hot chicks from tweeting pictures.
Listen, Bean, you might as well ask, why does Pringles keep making potato chips? Why do they keep putting those potato chips in those cans on shelves? We've tasted their potato chips. We like them. Why do they keep making more? Because that's what the factory does. That's all they have.
That's what they make. That's what she has.
Yeah.
And I'm in favor of it.
Another story that was out this morning, I didn't even bring it into the show because it's so ridiculous. But one of the tabloids is saying that Kanye West is encouraging Kim to make another sex video with him this time.
Yeah.
He would never do that in a million years, right?
No, but I'd like to see her again.
I would, too. But then you have to see Kanye.
Yeah.
That's the trade-off. Today's celebrity birthdays, Richard Anderson, a great character actor, was a big part of the $6 Million Man TV series, as well as the Bionic Woman, 86 years old today. Dustin Hoffman turned 75. Larry Wilcox of Chips. 65 years old today. The Edge of U2 is 51. Scott Stapp of Creed is 39. Guitarist Tom Linton of Jimmy Eat World celebrates his 37th birthday, and Drew Lachey of 98 Degrees is 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Everybody knows William Shatner breeds horses, which is a nice way to say that he f***ed them. Aren't you too fat to get on a horse? That was crazy. Did you hear the horse? The horse went, no! Courtney Love, you're like the girl next door. If you happen to live next to a methadone clinic, how is it possible that Courtney Love looks worse than Kurt Cobain? Pam, just for the record, I think it's kind of hypocritical that you care so much about animal rights since you've been torturing your own for years.
You cannot have a roast without our next comic, but it would be great if for once we tried. Please welcome living proof that Jews run Hollywood, Jeffrey Ross.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Ross is here with not one, not two, but three new TV shows debuting in the next 7 days on Comedy Central. Wow. And you look terrible, Jeff. You look bad.
Hey, man,
and that's saying something, because it's you.
I want to be a better target at the roast. I want to let myself go so they can ream me.
When I saw the photos of you at the Roseanne Roast, which is one of the shows that's airing, your hair has never been more out of control than it is right now.
I'm a free spirit.
Look like it's in full revolt.
It's a 1,000-pound Jufro. It's awesome.
You know how long I have to sleep to get my hair to look like this?
What's the deal? A lot of times people will have new projects and they'll want to, you know, space them out a little bit, give people a chance to breathe in between, be able to focus the promotion. Why three shows in 1 week? What's up, Jeff?
Well, we thought about that, and then I thought, well, roast week, you know, like let's make something special.
Okay.
That I can send everybody towards my shows at one time.
Now,
how often do I get to come on the show and plug? So I'll plug three at once.
All right. That's fine. You can come in anytime you want, by the way. It's just you don't ask.
No, thank you. Thank you for that.
Tell us when the roast is. Is that Sunday night?
The roast is, here's how it'll go down. My stand-up special airs Saturday.
Saturday. And that's called Jeff Ross
Roast America. Speed roasting volunteers from eight different cities, all cut into one magical, fast-paced comedy hour.
Okay.
As we saw you do at Kevin and Bean April Foolishness last year. Not this year, but last year.
By the way, one of the first times I ever did it was at that show.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I learned a lot.
You're a gutsy mother effer.
I get hit eight times in the stand-up special.
You hit?
Yeah.
Punched?
Mostly women slapping me for making fun of them. I bring women and men, volunteers, whoever wants to come on stage, you've seen it, to get speed roasted.
But don't you find that, do you get people that go up there that don't know who you are and what you do?
No, every now and then maybe somebody will push a friend up there who's not really sure, and inevitably that's the person who smacks me. Because it'll be a woman who goes up there in like a tight top and she thinks I'm just going to make some boob jokes. And
right.
Then, of course, I start making fun of her teeth or her eyes or something. And then they don't like that.
So one thing we know about Jeff is that there's no one that he can't make fun of.
That's true.
Pretty girl like you should think about getting your teeth fixed. You know, those kind of jokes. Normally, I don't like when one boob's bigger than the other, but it seems to work on you.
See, now that's very unsettling for a young lady to hear that.
Yes, it is. I just pulled my top up a little higher.
So that show's violent, but very punk rock.
And that's Saturday night.
Saturday night at 11.
Okay.
And Sunday's the roast, the Roseanne roast.
Now, why the rush to roast Roseanne?
Too soon, huh?
Yeah.
Right.
This is Sunday night at 10 on Comedy Central, or 7 if you get the East Coast feed or whatever.
It's going to be a really, really fun roast. The host is Jane Lynch from Glee.
Oh, she's funny.
She's really funny.
I'm not the least bit interested in Roseanne, though. That's my problem. It's like when I see Roseanne, then I go, oh, I'm out.
But, yeah, but I don't think it matters if you've got really
good roasters.
It doesn't matter. Roasters.
Because you guys roasters. All roast each other, too.
Listen,
right.
You got 4,000 fat jokes. They never get old. I could do it all day. I did a run of 15 myself. And on top of that, what Roseanne brings to this roast world is she represents unapologetic comedy. And this is a good time to sort of put that out there.
Yes,
so,
it is.
And the comics talk about that. I talked about that. And more importantly, Roseanne goes on at the end and really gives it to everybody. So it reminds everybody why she's so funny. And
she hasn't been funny to me in 15 years, 20 years. So
well, then that's
that'll
cool.
be interesting to see again.
So maybe she'll surprise you, because I think she will. She really worked hard on it, and she was a good sport, and Tom Arnold came out in the middle and sort of surprised everybody. So it's just a fun.
Now when you talk about at this time, I'm sorry, Bean, did I interrupt your thought?
No, go ahead.
When you talk about at this time, it's important. Explain to people what you're talking about as far as comedy clubs and comedy and the world of
there's a lot of comedy police out there, and it's growing and getting worse. Comedians are, you heard about comedians getting drinks thrown at them.
Yeah.
And there was a stabbing in Vegas at a Tenacious D show last week.
They couldn't even go on, yeah.
And maybe this isn't directly related, but then I read about a comedian in Somalia that was shot.
Yeah.
And I go, well, if it happens there, within a year or two, it's going to happen here. Like, just weird stuff's happening in the comedy world.
Is that
world.
Science? Did you figure that out through science?
No, through getting old.
Oh, okay.
So it just seems like people are very, they're taking their anger out on comedians a little bit.
Now, there's a lot of bringing what comedians say on stage out of context out into the world, too, and saying, that's not right, you shouldn't say that. And that is what drives me crazy as well, because it seems like stand-up comedy, you can go anywhere and say anything, and if you don't like it, walk out.
I love that attitude.
But
that's
a lot of people are complaining and saying, oh, this guy said this guy said that. And you go, well, it's a comedy club, so they really are supposed to sort of take you where you're uncomfortable.
It's one of the last sort of temples of free speech,
right,
is a comedy club. And even Chris Rock in a New York Times interview this week said he won't go back on the stand-up stage until they stop having cell phones in the audience. Because people grab the act, and they post it out of context, essentially stealing your material.
Right.
And it's like a little scary.
Yeah. Well, I thought Daniel Tosh really got the most raw deal with everything, with all the hate that rained down on him after his joke that people claimed was a rape joke, and it really wasn't. But that was just insane. And, of course, I was happy to see the exact same thing happen to Dane Cook, because he deserves it.
Just because you don't like him.
Right. Well, no, because his joke wasn't funny. That was my biggest problem with the Dane Cook joke, is that it wasn't funny. Now,
but it also wasn't planned out. It was improvised in a comedy club. It's not something that he is putting out there on television.
Right.
It's just sort of, where else are we supposed to riff, you know?
Exactly. Where else are you supposed to riff? Exactly.
Look,
great point.
You wouldn't go to Olympic training camp and judge those scores against their primetime regular competition scores.
Now you had a joke or two cut out of the roast that we're going to see on Comedy Central, the roast of Roseanne this Sunday night, but that's not uncommon. I mean, you can't put the same things on television that you and the other comics can do in the room, right? You're used to having stuff cut.
Yeah, we expect that. I purposely go long just to have fun in the room and mess with whoever's there.
Do you have some jokes that you know ahead of time are going to get cut out just because they're too
I usually have a good hunch. And inevitably, you know, one of my friends will say, Doug, better not tell that joke. And I go, oh, if I don't tell it, Gilbert's going to tell it. So, all right, I'll tell it.
I might as well go for it.
That has happened, by the way.
I've always wanted to know, you mentioned Tom Arnold is at the roast, and of course, that makes sense. It makes sense to have cast members from the old Roseanne show, people who are actually friends with her. But what's mystifying to those of us at home is, how does Carrie Fisher end up on a roast like this, or Ellen Barkin? Like, who? How do these people get? Yeah, how do these people get selected, Jeff?
Well, I can tell you each one how it happened.
Please.
Seth Green is a friend, and he mentioned that he wanted to be on my new show, The Burn. And I said, you know what? Before The Burn, the roast is coming up. So I called him and said, is that something that would spark you? And he was into it. And
fantastic.
He came in with some really funny jokes, and he took command of the podium, and he ripped.
He's the best.
He's a really good sport, really good guy, and he killed. Ellen Barkin and Carrie Fisher, you mentioned, they're both friends of Roseanne, so they came out of hiding, and we roasted.
See, we forget that all stars know each other, I guess.
Yeah, especially, you know, the sort of
the roast crowd?
Well, no, Roseanne's friends, you might expect them. It was a very sort of Lifetime original movie kind of roast. But equally as brutal, you know. And it got bloody, which was fun for most of those women because they haven't gotten their period in a very long time.
Is Roseanne a little bit crazy? I mean, for real?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
A little crazy.
Her entrance is great. I don't want to ruin it. Her address at the end is hilarious.
Is she self-aware? Does she know that she's a little crazy?
She's pretty. Yeah, we had dinner the night before, and she was very she has like a godmother, what do you call it, a earth mother kind of feel about her that I didn't expect.
She doesn't shower?
She's very open about her weed smoking and her wine drinking, and, you know, her mouth just sort of says anything that unfiltered. So yeah. It was kind of fun to even meet her. I loved her show when I was younger, so it was cool.
Well, it sounds awesome. We've talked about two of Jeff Ross's new shows. The Jeff Ross Roast America airs Saturday night on Comedy Central, and then the Roast of Roseanne is Sunday night. When we come back, Jeff, we're going to talk about The Burn, which I know is something that you've been teasing us with for the last couple of years. This is a show you've been very excited to get up and
yeah.
running. It's finally happening.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that with our guest, Jeffrey Ross, the Roastmaster General, when we return right after this on the Kevin Bean Show. Funny man Adam Carolla joins us later on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Also, actor John Cho is going to be here, and Travis Pastrana, too. That is a lot of show coming up here on the Kevin and Bean program for a Wednesday. Jeffrey Ross is here, the Roastmaster General, on Twitter at RealJeffreyRoss. You have not one, not two, but three Comedy Central shows coming up this week. We talked about the Jeff Ross Roasts America Saturday night. We talked about the Comedy Central Roast of Roseanne on Sunday night. And then next Tuesday, the 14th, it's The Burn.
Yeah.
What about The Burn? Yeah. You got to say it like that. It's got to be... The burn.
Do you have to say it like that?
Yeah, he did.
Whispered, even better.
Feel the burn.
Burn. Tell us about this show.
It's a weekly roast of...
Tell us faster.
The world. The people and places and things that we all love, we will make fun of and take down and break down the news. And
now, when you say we, is it going to be you and who?
It's mostly me.
Okay.
But I'll have friends on.
Comedian friends.
Yeah, comedian friends. J.B. Smoove and Ralphie May and Amy Schumer and wow. Sarah Silverman are all coming all on.
Star. Love, 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 love.
And, yeah, Carolla's coming on.
Not so fond of.
And hopefully he won't talk through everything I say.
He will, by the way. He'll talk the whole time.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I love Adam.
I do, too.
And it's going to be cool. I roast, you know, you can't just roast celebrities. I'm going to roast... I go out and I have a Segway that's tricked out like a podium.
Love it.
And I went downtown and roasted meter maids while they were giving tickets. That's in the first episode on Tuesday.
You take out the paparazzi also?
I showed up at Katsuya 2 weeks ago and I shot that where I just sort of ambush roast the paparazzi.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
you people
need to
put
the
die
notch,
Princess Di is all mean jokes. It was great.
I would expect nothing less from you.
Yeah.
You knock on celebrity front doors. Now, I would imagine you know where lots of famous people live. Tell me how that goes.
I started with Stamos. I just showed up at his house one day. He said
unannounced. He didn't know it?
He knew I was coming over. He had a present for me. It was right after my birthday. And he had this, you know, this Bob Hope statuette he wanted to give me. It was really beautiful and corny, and I love him. And I said, all right, I'll come by on Saturday. And I emailed him a couple of jokes for him to say about me, and he didn't understand why. They were like, this is on me.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
He's like, what is this? I'm like, will you just let me do it? He said, okay. And then I go in, and I just start making fun of him. He was on Glee at the time. I said, what's your vocal range? About 8 inches? And he's a great sport. And, yeah, I'm going to do another one with Sarah this week. And it's going to be cool. It's called Friendly Fire, where I make fun of and goof on, and they goof on me, friends. And there's a lot of cool segments. Every show ends with a tribute to whoever dies that week, too soon.
Sweet.
Oh, that's so
tender.
The name
of it is too soon?
Yeah, so hopefully somebody will die today before the taping tomorrow.
Now, can you use Marvin Hamlish? Is he fair game, or do you have to wait for somebody even more recent?
I'm worried about that one because I knew Marvin Hamlish, and it seems a little painful.
Shut up.
I got to know him through
Adina. You're starting a chorus line on Broadway, right, Jeff?
He was on tour with Idina Menzel, who's a dear friend, and I was helping them. With their Kennedy Center shows a couple years ago, and I got to know Marvin Hamlish.
I don't know who any of those people are.
He was a really good storyteller and could have been a comedian if he wasn't
really?
The world's most decorated songwriter.
Really? Because that
so
seems
you're hoping,
like two completely different skills.
Yeah.
So you're hoping that Mickey Rooney or somebody like dies in the next 24 hours,
somebody
basically, just to give you a better target.
Right? Somebody relevant would be. Somebody young dying would be much better for the show.
Okay. I hope it's Beer Mug.
The universe.
Like The Situation or somebody like that.
That would
be everybody
huge.
Wants to see go.
That would be huge.
Oh, that's a great idea. I hope that happens.
Yeah. We did Steve Jobs in the pilot, and I have Sally May, whatever her name was, Sally Ride, the female astronaut.
The astronaut, right?
I got that all queued up in case nobody really famous does.
No.
I love this show. Now, how often is it going to air, Jeff?
Every Tuesday at 10:30.
It's going to be a weekly show? That's fantastic.
For
boy, are you going to be tired?
Nah, I'm ready, man. Are you kidding me? I'm beyond ready, excited.
You certainly have worked out making fun of people. You've worked out that skill.
Yeah.
So now it's time to put it to good use.
Roasting is the new national pastime for America.
Well, let me write it down one more time for folks so they make sure not to miss him. And I just have a season pass on anything with Jeff Ross's name in it on my DVR. That's the way to do it. But Jeff Ross Roast America is Saturday night on Comedy Central, and then the Comedy Central Roast of Roseanne, which sounds amazing, and is going to be Sunday night. And by the way, they'll release everything comes out on DVD with Comedy Central too, right? And uncensored, they do that, right?
Yeah, it'll rerun late, and the stand-up special comes out on DVD a few days later, and it's all pretty synergized.
Totally the way to go. And then The Burn with Jeff Ross debuts. It premieres this coming Tuesday night, August the 14th, also on Comedy Central. And that sounds awesome. I wish you nothing but success, Jeff. Thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks for making me feel welcome. Love you guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is The Kevin and Bean Show at 742.
Ralph Garman's got the showbiz beat coming up here on The Kevin and Bean Show, including more passes for the world premiere of Hit and Run, the new movie with Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard. You know, the Olympics are going on. I think my favorite story yesterday, Kevin, did you see this? That seven members of the African country of Cameroon, seven members of their Olympic team have vanished.
Yeah, they disappeared.
They think that they are eventually going to seek asylum in Britain or somewhere else in Europe, but they just walked away from the Olympic camp, never to be seen from again.
Oh my God.
What are their soccer players? The backup goalie vanished. Then a few days later, what are their swimmers left? And then all five of the Cameroonian boxers have also disappeared from the Olympic Village.
That's crazy.
They're just gone. But there have
blame
been,
them, too.
Yeah. I don't think it's probably fun to live in Cameroon, that's for sure. But there have been there's too much Olympics. It's on, you know, three or four channels all the time.
That's
it's impossible to kind of keep up with everything. And that's why I think Kevin is doing a great job on following what's most important at these Olympic Games.
Well, I'm bringing in highlights of some of my favorite players. And one of them that we've talked about before, Destiny Hooker, she's a runner-up to my top three. This is during a women's U.S. volleyball game.
Destiny Hooker and a wonderful ball control.
She's got wonderful ball control.
Yes, she does.
So we know that.
Living like Hooker. It's got to be good.
She's also the best American, and that makes...
The United States is maintaining their level at the top of the volley universe.
That's good news right there. That we're maintaining at the top. So...
Now, if she's a runner-up in your top three, does that mean she's number four, or are you saying she's number two in your top three
as
a runner-up?
She's number four. I have not got into my top three yet.
Wow, very impressive. Okay.
Now, the first one that gets the bronze medal, this is, and I couldn't hear it very well the first time, but somebody jumps on the swim start, and they have to reset, and then they say who it is, and I wasn't positive I heard it right, so then I waited for the replay.
Sarah Soystrom is down there in lane six for Sweden.
Whoa.
As they reset the swimmers here.
Lane seven moved a little bit.
It's Victoria Poon of Canada, second from the bottom. Moved a bit, but it's a clean start.
Who jumped? Who was at the jump?
Let's check out the early movement by Victoria Poon there in lane seven.
Oh. Victoria Poon.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Victoria Poon. Her name is Victoria Poon.
And she's from Canada?
Yes.
Does she know Destiny Hooker from the U.S.?
She's a swimmer. Victoria Poon.
I love her so much.
Silver medal goes to British swimmer Liam Tancock.
Oh, no.
Liam Tancock is their swimmer.
Now, he knows Poon, right? Tancock knows Poon.
I would imagine so.
Tancock in four in the blue hat. Koga one lane closer in five, but the medals can go anywhere.
The final at the men's 50 metres backstrokes of Great Britain's fastest qualifier, Liam Tancock. But he's had a very good start again. Also very good up in two is Helga Mew of Germany. And Tancock at the moment now, he's got to get to about 30 metres ahead. And if he is, I think he's going to get it. Come on, Liam Tancock. Right now, hold your stroke. He's got about 5 metres to go. Tancock in the centre. His own world record, 24.08. Has he got it? 24.04. Oh, what a fantastic swim. The start was great. The swim was great. The finish was perfect. A new world record for Liam Tancock at Great Britain.
Oh, Liam Tancock does good work.
Nice family name. Where did that come from?
I don't care how popular swimming is. No one will ever buy a Liam Tancock jersey.
I would in 1 second.
Are you kidding? On.
In 1 second. But my gold medal winner is...
Representing the People's Republic of China, Dong Dong.
Oh, Dong Dong. He competes in trampoline. And his name is Dong Dong.
That is an unimaginative name.
That is a real name.
He's unbelievably talented, too.
Yeah, he's really good. He got the gold medal.
Amazing. Yeah, he's amazing.
The first clip I'm going to play is a super old, super boring announcer. And he's doing trampoline. So he says Dong Dong's name, and then you'll hear how exciting trampolining is.
Okay.
What from this young man? Dong Dong. Twenty-three years old.
Is he doing anything?
Dong Dong is doing flips and triple flips and everything.
Anything.
And that old announcer is just doing nothing.
But when you watch the swimming, for instance, and they do the similar sorts of athletic moves and everything, they're doing play by play. They're talking about how many turns and what direction and what angles and things like that. They're kind of bringing the event to life for us. Not this guy.
All right, you want play by play for Dong Dong?
Yes.
All right.
And now Dong Dong.
First of all, look, I know it's childish, but I don't know how they don't laugh. I really don't. But here's the play by play.
And now Dong Dong.
Watch this. He will do five triples in a row. Outrageously difficult. He has more height, more energy, and he is staying right in that box.
So you got that going for you. You got Dong Dong. He's got high energy. He's got a lot of height.
Right.
And he's staying right in the box.
Does he know Tanka? Mr. Sulu from the Star Trek movies joins us next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, he's actor John Cho. He's in the Matthew Perry. Different Mr. Sulu. This is not the George Takei.
So glad to be here on your show.
John Cho.
Guy. That's the old
going to be
guy.
Joining us. He's in the new Matthew Perry sitcom. So we'll talk about that. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat now. What's going on?
While we're talking about big blockbuster, big budget movies, great news for Avengers fans. Avengers 2 is in the works, and Disney has confirmed that Joss Whedon will be once again at the helm.
That's the best news.
Yay! Studio confirmed yesterday that Whedon will both be writing and directing the upcoming Avengers sequel, which we'll see, I don't know, sometime in the 23rd century, I guess it'll roll around. But
can you imagine sitting down, you know you're going to direct it, but sitting down and going, okay, all right, Avengers 2. Where do we start?
That's a
tall tough
order. He has, recent as Comic-Con, said he hadn't come to a decision on directing the sequel yet, but I guess eventually, once he had a chance to take a breath, he said, yeah, he wanted to go back and do it again. So that's good news for those of us who enjoyed the first so much. And from great news to bad news regarding these big budget comic book franchises, in Cleveland, a 37-year-old man was arrested Saturday night at a screening of The Dark Knight Rises. He was carrying a bag that was loaded with ammunition clips, four knives, and a loaded gun.
No bueno.
Wow.
Luckily, an off-duty cop who was working as a security guard at the theater noticed the man talking to one of the managers there. Everyone sort of thought that someone was suspicious, but no one bothered to check his bag. This guy followed him into the theater. The guy was there half an hour early. No one else was there. He asked to see inside the large bag he was carrying. The man consented. And once this off-duty cop saw what was in there, he called police. The guy volunteered just to put the stuff back in his car, but smart man decided that maybe the cop should be called. He is currently being held by police without bail at the moment. He is refusing to speak to the police, which is concerning. Even more concerning is this guy is married, has a young child. When the police went to his home to search it, they found eight more guns, gas masks, and bulletproof vests.
Oh my God.
Dude. So he was stockpiling for some scary reason.
Are you allowed, if you have a license for a handgun, are you allowed to carry it around and carry knives and whatnot? Carry it around in your backpack if you want? No.
You need to have a license to carry a concealed weapon if that weapon is concealed either on your personage or in a bag or something like that. So
yeah,
he does not have a license to carry a concealed weapon. But if everyone had been armed in the theater, then it would have been okay.
You wouldn't even have to stop him.
That's right.
Just take him down.
Just a big gunfight. James Vanderbeek of Dawson's Creek. He's currently on a show called Don't Trust the Bitch in Apartment 23. I'm sorry, Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. He's announced that there's going to be a semi-reunion of the Dawson's Creek gang for the opening episode of the season. Busy Phillips, apparently, will be guest starring.
All right.
Producers say they'd love to have the rest of the cast join them. They'd love to have Michelle Williams, Joshua Jackson, and Katie Holmes on that episode, too. Yeah, I bet you would. But you know, it turns out they'll have careers. And
that's not even a semi reunion.
Well, sort of semi.
It's like one friend showing up.
It's a semi. Michael Clark Duncan isn't out of the woods yet. He's still in the hospital after that heart attack. I had no idea.
He's recovering in the woods?
What?
He said he's still not out of the woods yet.
Yeah.
Wow.
He suffered a heart attack back on July 13th. Remains in the hospital, even though he's out of the ICU. Still, doctors say if it wasn't for his girlfriend, Omarosa, from The Apprentice, he wouldn't be with us. She administered CPR the morning of the attack, kept him going until paramedics arrived. So it's important to learn CPR, people.
How about that?
If a cold-hearted bitch like Omarosa can save someone's life, you certainly can, too. So.
Kevin, are you going to accuse Michael Clark Duncan of having a heart attack like a girl?
Oh, I didn't think about that.
No, I am not.
Kevin probably caused it.
I caused nothing.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Drew Lachey of 98 Degrees is 36 years old. I got a lot of emails. I didn't realize this, but while we're talking about boy bands, J.C. Chazé of NSYNC is also 36 today. Don't want to leave out the NSYNCers.
Sure.
Jimmy Eat World guitarist Tom Linton is 37. Scott Stapp of Creed is 39. Cool Moe Dee is 50 years old today. That was what Larry King said, wasn't he?
Cool Moe Dee.
Edge of U2 is 51. Keith Carradine, 63. Larry Wilcox was on the TV series Chips back in the day, is 65. And Dustin Hoffman, movie star extraordinaire, celebrates his 75th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
<laughs> 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.
By the way, quick note, very excited to see the news yesterday that Travis Barker has decided to try to conquer his fear of flying and will be accompanying the other guys in Blink 182 down to Australia for their scheduled tour.
Well, that's a long way to go any other way.
Well, he decided to, he was just going to not go because of that plane crash that he was in that killed a bunch of his friends. He's never wanted to fly again, and he hasn't. He hasn't flown.
Of course.
But understandable.
Yeah.
But he decided this is the trip to take because it's on Qantas, and as we all learned from the movie Rain Man, they've never had a crash.
Is that true?
Yes.
Huh.
How about that? So great news for Blink 182 fans down under. I read that on KROQ.com, by the way, and you should too.
Adam Carolla's coming up with This Week in Rage. Love that. We got Honda Civic Tour tickets for you. Should we sell for that now?
Yeah, let's look for Linkin Park fans to call the Kevin and Bean Show right now. We got a game that you're going to be playing. If you know Linkin Park songs, it'll help you win. You can see Your Boys along with Incubus. It's a great double bill September 8th at the Home Depot Center. You win tickets to that, and then you'll also be in the grand prize drawing for the K-Rock Road Trip USA 2012 stop number 6, which is the same acts in San Francisco. You can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. About 10 minutes or so, we'll play the game. You can win tickets to go see Linkin Park and Incubus.
And then an hour from now, we're going to talk to Travis Pastrana and Jolene Van Voorn.
Too much show.
I believe
Too
I'm saying show. That right. About their new movie that opens today, Wednesday, on Nitro Circus 3D.
Cool.
All right. Producer Dave is talking to John Cho. He'll be joining us in just 1 second. He is on the new NBC sitcom with Matthew Perry that is called Go On. Do we have time before we go to John to listen to the last interview that he did for our show, which was with Beer Mug on the red carpet of Total Recall the other night?
What if he gets put on hold, though, and hears it?
I know.
All right.
Well, it'll give us an opportunity to apologize.
All right. Here it is. Here's Beer Mug and John Cho.
One question. How distracting was it working alongside Beale and Beckinsale?
Got a wife, man.
Oh.
I got a wife. It's super distracting. They're really hot.
And so they dig the Asian guys, the Asian persuasion?
I'm just gonna move on to the next interviewer.
What are you thinking?
The goal of interviewing stars, whether it's in here or on the red carpet,
is to ask them about yourself.
It's not to make them feel as uncomfortable as possible.
Well, they already said he had a wife.
You did nothing but put that poor guy behind the eight ball, though, with every question you asked him.
Was his wife with him?
No.
Oh, okay.
But John was really cool, so he had no
problem answering my questions.
He was really cool, but you're lucky that he was really cool.
Yeah.
Wonder what's going on in the other room. Hey, Dave, how's that conversation with John Cho going?
What are you guys talking
about? They have me on hold right now. They're transferring him over.
We thought we would talk to him.
Yeah.
I bet Dave's doing a hell of an interview in there with John Cho.
So, tell me about Gay On.
This show does look like it has potential to be good, by the way.
They're premiering it tonight after the Olympics, which is
weird.
Yeah,
I don't get that. That's weird.
Late night after the Olympics, where you would normally have the news, they're going to show this show, Go On. It's a Matthew Perry show.
Love Matthew Perry.
And it's commercial free.
I've never heard of this before.
I guess it's a way to get eyeballs on it because of the Olympics, I imagine. But
appreciate them trying something new to try to cut through.
You know what else they could try that would be new, Lisa?
Letting us talk to John Cho.
John Cho on the phone with us instead of with Dave.
That would be different.
So
are you watching the Olympics?
It's okay. We can wait. We're cool. How you been, Lisa? What's going on with you? How's Boner?
Boner's good. He's here today.
Boner's here today.
Yeah. He's sleeping in the other room. He's such a good guy. He's just sound asleep in there. And
Boner's such a good
guy. Taking him down to see my mom. It's going to be his first dog therapy visit because she's in the hospital, and so he's actually going to go to the hospital.
You can take your dog into the hospital now because you got that BS certificate.
Yep, I called and cleared it yesterday, and so we're going to go in, and it should be very cool. Or he's going to poop on her bed. I don't know.
One or the other.
One or the other.
Dave asked John Cho if he has a dog.
Dave, tell him we got about 5 minutes. I'm sorry.
We're going to wait for 5 more minutes?
Tell him we got about 1 minute.
Oh, man.
No, Dave. Now we lost Dave. All right, look, we got the Honda Civic Tour. He's on hold. Dave said, he's on hold.
Oh, we got him? We got John?
Yeah.
John Cho.
What's going on?
How are you?
Good. Are we live?
Yes, we are.
Yes. We were just laughing because we had you scheduled for a few minutes ago. We've been kind of stalling, and we've almost run out of steam to talk to you. I got to be honest. We're almost, at this point, we've waited so long, we're exhausted.
I was on a very important phone call with Tampa, Florida.
I'm sure you were. I'm sure it was a far more scintillating interview than what you'll get from us. Hey, first of all, we apologize for Beer Mug attacking you on the red carpet the other night at Total Recall. You know that his questions do not represent the views of the Kevin and Bean Show, right?
I do. Thank you very much. But it means a lot that I've got that formal apology.
Exactly.
Hey, John, who's the woman on the phone? We can hear her.
Amanda?
I don't know. Someone's talking.
We don't know her.
Tell her to stuff it, is what we're saying.
She's the person that connects me from radio station to radio station.
Tell her to stop talking on the phone.
Exactly.
Right. Amanda.
Let's talk about Go On.
First of all, Matthew Perry, one of the all-time great comedy actors, of course, with Friends. I think he got a super raw deal on that Studio 60 show, first of all, because they should have kept that show on the air. I think that was, and he's a terrific actor. Mr. Sunshine, maybe not so much, but this one looks like it has a lot of premise. Tell us about it, John.
It stars Matthew Perry. You know, he's from Joey from Friends. How you doing?
Nope. Nope.
I don't think so.
No. He's... He plays a sports radio broadcaster who loses his wife in an accident, and I play his boss, and I mandate that he's got to do some therapy sessions before he comes back to work. And it's a show about him trying to get back on his feet, and it's a serious subject matter, but it's for sure a comedy, and I think he's terrific in it.
How are you in it?
Mediocre. Mediocre. Wow, it's honesty hour.
Well,
wow.
I just thought you said he's terrific. I figured I would follow that up with the rest of the cast.
I've been the biggest fan of Matthew Perry for a number of years. I mean, I watched Friends for him, and this is kind of embarrassing to admit. I told him myself, I've learned everything about comedy through him, and there's so much of his performances I've stolen from him so much over the years. It's really creepy for me to be working with him.
Now, when you told him that, did he say to you, could you suck up anymore?
He said, let go of my zipper.
We were trying to explain, and I think we did it poorly, but the show doesn't actually start until September, but it's a sneak preview tonight after the Olympics. So whereas the Olympics would normally end in prime time and goes to the news, instead tonight we get your show debuting for the first time on TV without commercial interruption. Great way to kind of check it out before it officially premieres. Right, John?
Why not? Yes. So it'll be right after the gymnastics final. You can check it out. And then we'll start in earnest in September.
Gotcha. So many Asians on my TV tonight. Gymnastics right into John Cho on this program.
I apologize from my race.
Not at all. We love it. Sounds great. The show is called Go On. Catch it tonight on NBC. John, come back and see us anytime, man. We love talking to you.
Thanks, you guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
You okay?
Sure.
Strenna You're a girl. Hey, Adam Carolla joins us next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, who wants to see Linkin Park and Incubus together September 8th at the Home Depot Center? It's time for Kevin and Bean's Clucking the Hits.
Now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's pet chicken, Clucky, the most talented chicken in the world. The only chicken that can sing Foo Fighter songs for you. If you can identify the song,
You just may win those tickets. Take it away, Clucky!
Or maybe update the intro for Linkin Park, which is what we're doing today at 1-800-520-1067.
Nope,
we're
going to go to the play Foo Fighters songs.
We're going to go to the callers, and they're going to hear Clucky singing a Linkin Park song. They have to just identify it by title, and if they're right, they go into the drawing. Lisa decides who wins the tickets to see Linkin Park with Incubus together. All right, who's first?
Philip, an electrician. Hi, Philip.
How you doing?
Good.
All right, listen up. Here's Clucky doing a Linkin Park song. We're playing it what, Kevin? Just once,
one
right?
One time, only one
just
time.
Just one time, and then you tell us what Linkin Park song it is. Good luck.
Go ahead, Clucky. That's a gimme.
In the end.
Yeah! Well done. Nicely done.
All right, Phillip's in the drawing.
Clucky is on fire. Let's go to Shelly. Hi, Shelly.
Hi.
Are you ready for Clucky?
I think so.
All right, here you go. Good luck. What's that?
I believe I heard her say numb. Yes. Well done.
So numb. Nicely done.
All right, you haven't won yet. You are in the drawing, though. That numb sounded from Clucky a little bit like the national anthem, by the way, right there at the beginning. Who's contestant number three?
Joshua. Hi, Joshua.
Hey.
Or Josh. Josiah?
Close enough.
Okay. We don't care either. Here's Clucky.
What do you think there, Josiah?
Oh, man.
Joshua?
Oh.
Okay, we're going to need a Linkin Park song. Somebody, let's take a stab. Any Linkin Park song?
Papercut.
No, I'm sorry.
We were looking for...
Burn it down.
Burn it down. That's what we wanted. Thanks for playing, though.
That's the first...
What you get for having a name we can't pronounce.
Chris, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You loving clocking the hits like we are?
Yep.
All right, here you
go. All right, for the next one.
Here's the Kevin and Bean Chicken. Were we high when we came up with this idea?
Yes, we were. Yes, we were.
Breaking that habit?
No, not even a little bit.
No, it's bleed it out. Digging deeper just to throw it. Sorry, dude.
All right, I think we only have time for one more contestant. Philip is in the drawing. Shelly's in the drawing. Who might get in the drawing next?
Cheryl.
Hi.
Hi there. You ready?
How you been doing? How you been doing so far? As you've been listening on hold.
I only got one.
All right.
Wow. All right. Good luck to you.
I've got confidence in you, Cheryl. Here you go. Kevin and Bean Chicken.
Are you kidding me?
Oh no.
Nope.
You're listening to a show where they have chickens clucking the hits, and you're asking if we're kidding you? No, we're dead serious.
I don't know what's going on here. I'm just going to take a stab and say calling.
Sorry.
Sorry about that. Let's do one more. Let's do one more.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
One more.
Okay.
One more.
All right.
We can't go out on a loser. Alfred.
Who's next?
Alfred.
Hello.
Are you ready for your clucking the hits?
Yes, okay. I am.
Come on, we need a winner. Here we go.
Damn.
Good job, Kevin.
It's not the winner I wanted.
Good job, Kevin.
How about...
If I'm Chester, I'm worried about Clucky taking over my job, by the way.
Sure.
Clucky's getting pretty good. That one was kind of easy, I got to be honest, Alfred.
We need a guess.
How about giving up?
Oh, I'm sorry.
How about you give up?
One more. Let's do one more.
No!
We're completely out of time.
Is it Philip or is it Shelly? Who's going to see Linkin Park along with Incubus at the Home Depot Center be qualified to see them in San Francisco Grand Prize during Friday? Lisa.
It is Shelly.
Yay! Congratulations, Shelly.
Yay!
Nicely done. Thanks for playing Clucking the Hits.
That was Clucking the Hits. We had a cluck of a good time. If you didn't, then cluck off.
Right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. I would like to just state for the record that I prefer Clucky.
Okay.
To Linkin Park. You like Clucky?
I like Clucky's Clucky.
Version of that song. Wow, how about that? Yeah, okay. Because Dave just killed Clucky. We're having him for lunch.
Oh, no.
Travis Pastrana and Jolene Von Voot join us in studio coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about their awesome-looking new Nitro Circus 3D movie. Right now, time for Adam Carolla. Good morning, Ace Man. What's going on, dude?
Yeah, get it on.
Get it on indeed.
A little bit of controversy. There's something every week to talk to Adam about. I noticed you raised a little controversy when you spoke out about the upcoming mayoral election in Southern California. You had some very harsh words for our mayor, Ace.
He's an idiot, right? He failed the bar four times. He didn't fail the bar four times and then pass on the fifth time. He just got discouraged and took his crayons home. He's an imbecile. Does anyone think that guy's smart? Well, how is L.A. doing? How about we just use the fact that this place is a mess?
We're on fire. Stick? I think L.A. is on fire.
I know. Look.
Literally, but.
Look, he's an imbecile, and his name is Tony Villar. And that's the story. I mean, he has a personality disorder. Can't other people see when somebody has a personality disorder?
Here's what I want to ask you, because we have these conversations about politics all the time, and I think Kevin has it right. Kevin votes for comedy. Like, who is the candidate who's going to be the most hilarious, either in an embarrassing way or in an intentionally hilarious way? What do you do? What do you look for in the candidates that you'd vote for, Adam?
I want someone who doesn't want the job. That's the guy I want.
Because the guy that wants the job, you don't trust.
Yeah, yeah. He says personality disorder. So what I want to do is find somebody who's just busy running some great business and then pluck him right out of it and go, yeah, I got a new job for you. You're going to take a pay cut.
And he doesn't have a choice.
You have no choice, but you can occasionally bang a reporter from Telemundo. So don't worry about it.
So find the smartest guy or gal you know and then just draft them into the position. I like it. Yeah. AdamCarolla.com is the site if you want to check out Adam's podcast and also his upcoming live shows, including this Saturday night. He'll be on stage at the Lovitz at 8 o'clock for only $20. Irvine Improv on the 22nd. Get tickets through AdamCarolla.com. The new book in stores is Not Taco Bell Material. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, start with three and moving up to number one. Oh, I traveled from Buffalo back to beautiful L.A. a couple weekends ago, and I had made a stopover in Chicago, and I was sitting in first class with a dude who traveled with his yoga mat. And I'm not talking about a miniature yoga mat folded up and shoved in the carry-on.
Right.
I'm talking about full bedroll yoga mat, like back of the horse, Brokeback Mountain. Like, he had a shoulder harness strap for the yoga mat, but not. It wasn't in a container. It was strapped around this thing, like he was carrying it, like it was his gay rifle. God knows what it shot. I'm just saying, it was bright red, it was 3 feet long, it was rolled up, it was 8 inches around, and he carried it over his shoulder everywhere he went, and I just thought, how much do I need to know about you? Do you know that guy?
That much. That guy has, you have to know that he's into yoga.
And by the way, can't find a yoga mat in L.A.? I know a dude in the Inland Empire that'll sell you one, but he's going to need 72 hours notice, and you better bring cash. I would say you could probably pick up a yoga mat in L.A.
That's a fair guess.
Oh, you get off the plane next to the Cinnabon, there's a place that's called Just Yoga Mats and Scented Candles. And it's this guy didn't have a deluxe yoga mat. It was just, you know, quarter-inch thick. It was red. It looked like every other yoga mat. And I would argue that wherever he's going, I bet you they're going to have a couple extra yoga mats.
That are better than the one he's carrying.
At least they will not be weary from traveling from Buffalo. I'm just saying, I had to watch this guy tote this thing all the way through the Chicago airport and then to get back on the plane. And, by the way, if any terrorist activity breaks out, what's he doing, getting in a down dog position? I'm just saying, look, whether you're the cowboy guy, whether you're the Klan guy, whether you're the black activist, whether you're the yoga guy, fine, I don't want to know. I don't want to know from 70 yards away what you're into. That's all.
That's fair. That's fair comment.
If you want to know, you'll ask.
That's right, and I'll never ask. All right, number two, I'm watching these commercials, especially during the Olympics, but just all the time now. What's with these impromptu concerts with these hipster bands breaking out on every New York rooftop And they're just filled with models and good-looking people, and they're all drinking like a Bud Lime, and everyone's just hanging out, and they're the coolest bands in the world. Every third commercial is some concert that broke out on some roof, and there's just a bunch of really good-looking people grooving to the beat. What's going on? Do these things really exist? Am I missing out on these things?
No. The whole point of a commercial is to associate their product with a life that is so much better than ours will ever be, so that we will want it, and then therefore we will buy their product thinking that we somehow now get to go to where the cool, beautiful people are.
Well, then, isn't it? But then I always think about it from the point of view from the fake band who's up on stage who has nothing but 200 super hot models paid to rock out to their crappy air guitar.
Right.
That must feel kind of good. And it must be weird afterward when you're like, hey, how about we go back to the tour bus for a BJ? And they're like, are you kidding? I'm just here for craft service, you creep. I'm dating Kevin Costner.
You're saying not real enough.
I'm just saying, I don't remember these commercials when I was a kid, but beer commercials were like dudes would go fishing, or the guy and his dad would put a deck on their cabin, and then they'd crack a Budweiser, and that would be it.
Yeah, I prefer the models. I got to be
honest. What's all these hipsters on a roof with five of the White Stripes up there just rocking out? And then it's up on the Jumbotron on the side of the building behind him. Where are their permits? What's going on? No one ever calls the cops. There'd be some old person who lived in one of the units up there going, what the hell's going on?
It's too loud.
Get off my roof. It's a weekday. All right. And last but not least, number one, I don't know if you guys have experienced this. Speaking of advertising, especially at the airport, I can't figure out what's going on with the airport advertising. Like, I'm used to the movie posters and the Arby's,
right,
you know, sign. But the airport is like when you're walking off that jetway and you see just a big picture of an oak tree and it says dream. And then you get to the next one, same oak tree, and it says rise. And then the next one, it says do. And then they're like, for what? Who? You guys make sneakers or you do auto insurance? What's going on?
What am I supposed to get out of this?
How am I supposed to know what's going on here? And then every once in a while, you'll see, like, there's a lot of those business ones where it'll be ITG. We manage management.
Right.
And I think, like, what do I do with this? I don't know what to do with this. Who does this mean something to?
Not you.
But it must mean something. It doesn't mean anything to the guy with the yoga mat.
No.
But who's this mean anything to? And then it'll just see one that'll say, like, technology is not a luxury. But I don't know what it is. And then there'll just be initials. Is this effective? You ever see people stop and go, I got to call these guys and get... I don't even know what it is.
I agree with their stance on technology. I'm going to give them a buzz.
Yeah, it's only at the airport, by the way.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense a lot of times. That's true.
I have no idea what it is. Somebody ought to tell you, like, when I sign my name, like, when they do the thing where they go, well, could you sign this poster, or everybody from the cast of, or everyone who plays this theater, sign their name. I always print my name underneath it so people know what the hell it is. Like, you ever see a basketball signed by the 87 Lakers?
Yeah.
You have to stare at it for 3 days because you can't figure out whose signature's what. I want that. All the advertising, you got to put what the F you're selling underneath it.
Good idea. Good idea. They're spending a lot of money for nothing. You're right about that. AdamCarolla.com. That's the website for the amazing podcast from the Ace Man and all the podcasts in his family. Plus, you can get all of his live information, including Saturday Night at the Lovitz on stage, 8 o'clock, just $20. And buy the new book, Not Taco Bell Material. Have a great week, Ace Man. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
Ralph Graven joins us now. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I want to give away some more passes to the world premiere of a movie called Hit and Run.
Yay!
It's at the Regal LA Live next Tuesday, August the 14th. The movie's in theaters everywhere on August the 22nd, which is a Wednesday. But if you want to see it with the stars of the film and walk the red carpet with the likes of Kristen Bell, Bradley Cooper, and director, writer, star of the film, Dax Shepard, then you should call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First three callers at that number will get a pair of passes to the red carpet world premiere of Hit and Run. Also want to give people a heads up in deep in Orange County. If you're one of our listeners down there, Kevin Smith and I will be doing our Hollywood Babylon show this Saturday night at the Coach House in San Juan Capistrano.
No.
Not only do you get us, But for the low, low price of just $25, you get the Hollywood Babylon show, and you get a screening of Kevin's film Mallrats, which I haven't seen in a long time.
How about that?
I think I'm going to come down early, and I'm going to watch the movie, and then you get to hear us babble afterwards. So it's an evening of fun.
That's a great movie, by the
Kevin
way.
Kevin and I. It is. I love Mallrats. Again, it's thecoachhouse.com if you want to get tickets down there. It's Saturday night. Look forward to seeing everybody. We're on the internet, too. If you go to Loud Channel on YouTube, the Loud Channel, they're showing highlights now of Hollywood Babylon right after we do it on Mondays. They post video highlights of what we did on Saturday night there at the Loud.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
Just call me, Dave. We'll crack open the minibar in the hotel, and we'll talk about it.
Can I call you tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there?
Just go down there.
Just go down there. Just give me. Yeah, you can find me down there at the Best Western. Just knock on my door. I'll be there. While we're talking about people with alcohol problems, Randy Travis, country superstar Randy Travis. This is not an unfamiliar story, unfortunately, with celebrities. He had a car crash, and apparently he was under the influence. He had been drinking. He refused to take a breathalyzer when cops arrived, so a blood was drawn and able to determine his blood alcohol level. So just another celebrity in another car crash with suspicion of driving under the influence. And, oh, I forgot to mention, he was completely naked when the cops arrived to the crash
scene. No!
Yeah, I guess I left that detail out. Car crashed. Cops showed up. There was Randy Travis. Without a stitch of clothing on at the crash site.
Why would you ever drive naked?
Or, if you weren't naked, why would you strip off all of your clothes after the crash and wait for the cops naked?
Oh, that's my amazing. God. That's great.
Naked.
And by the way, Ralph, you may not know this, but Randy Travis has essentially segued out of country music and now just does gospel and religious recording.
Oh, no.
I was hoping you were going to say rap.
Nope.
Randy, yeah.
Is this going to help his religious recording?
Was arrested last night in Texas. Jesus Take the Wheel and My Clothes is the name of his new single. Yeah, he was arrested. He was also booked on a retaliation and obstruction charge, which means he got mouthy and pushy with the cops when they showed up. And by the way, I don't know if I mentioned this or not, he was naked.
Maybe he was trying to change the story from DUI to, well, he was naked. Because that's even funnier. There you go. You forget the DUI part. You go, he was naked.
I think they all go hand in hand.
Yeah.
This is Rand. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to ask, do you think our listeners would have enough stories that we could do a phone topic tomorrow on you were arrested while naked?
Oh, of course.
Oh, sure.
In a second.
Because that's all I could think about now is how hilarious that is.
I was stopped by the cops in my underwear once.
Really?
Really? I wasn't in my car. I was running.
Running?
I was running.
Why were you running in your underwear?
Because I was drunk, and I was dared by my friends at a house party that I could not run around the block once in just my underwear.
You
dared me to do that. And I said,
"Totally old school, right?
I can absolutely run around this block once in my underwear, piece of cake." And sadly, there was a cruiser going by while I was running down the street in my underwear.
You know what happened is while some guys were in the living room saying, "I'll bet you can't," there was another guy on the phone going, "Hey, there's a guy out in front running in his underwear."
Yeah. Cops did not take me in, though, thanks to the Philadelphia PD for not running me in. They just gave me a ride back to the house.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
Because they didn't want a guy running around in his underwear in the neighborhood, I guess, so. That was kind.
I just wish I could have been with the cops when they saw you.
This was
you were Frank the Tank before there was a Frank the Tank.
He was streaking. He was full-blown streaking. I was just in my underwear, thank God. By the way, this is the second arrest this year for Randy Travis regarding alcohol. Back in February, he was busted for public intoxication for getting drunk and drinking in front of a Baptist church.
Wow.
So he is into religious music these days, I guess.
I guess so.
He is a mess.
No, he's good. That's fine.
He was, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the biggest country stars of all time.
I'm going to love you forever.
Right, Bean?
Forever and ever.
Yeah, he
amen.
Had 40 number one hits in the 80s or 90s or something like that. And he was also, remember, he also married that woman who was like 35 years older than him.
It was his manager.
Bizarre
yeah.
relationship with her.
Listen
yeah.
to country Dolly
music.
Over here.
Yeah. She, you know I know.
His manager.
We got to play some clips from Lisa's Country Days again. We haven't touched on that
tell
in a while.
All about that.
Jeez. She was like 40 and he was 17. When they got together and they ended up being together and married forever. It's just he's a bizarre dude. And
he's
now
crazy.
Even more bizarre. I love that story, Ralph.
He's the best. Let's get him on the show. Let's book him.
Fantastic.
After the cop.
He's already
book
been
him.
Booked.
We can book him.
By the way, his mugshot is at TMZ if you want to see his
picture. Oh,
funny.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus is concerned that her fiancé, Liam Hemsworth, may be flirting with his co-star on the set of the film Paranoia. How appropriate. Miley Cyrus is paranoid about her fiancé getting together with his co-star. Well, that's nothing to worry about, really, because his co-star is just Amber Heard.
Oh,
she's nothing to look at. She's no temptation for a man.
She's amazing.
She's spectacular. Miley is spending a lot of time close by Liam's side, say friends and co-workers. She's hanging out there in Philadelphia is where they're shooting this film.
That's not very smart.
Rumor was it that Amber was the reason, of course, behind the Johnny Depp-Vanessa Paradis split. And so Miley's concerned about that. According to sources, Miley said she had the bright idea if they all had dinner together, Amber would see how obviously in love she and Liam are and then would back off. But witnesses say Amber was flirting with both of them the entire evening. So, because, you know, Amber, she likes to play on both sides of the fence.
But I'm guessing she's just outgoing and nice. I'm guessing
that's
none
my
of this
guess
is flirting.
Too. That's my guess. Or she likes girls with really big teeth. In that case, then she wants to get a little...
Why would Miley go Miley there action. And have dinner with her? She looks like Mick Jagger compared to... She just... What a bad comparison that is.
Well, you know, if you see how in love a couple are, you say, well, I won't even waste my time trying to steal this man because he's crazy in love with this llama that he's been dating. Don't want to get between a man and his llama.
That's true.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Drew Lachey of 98 Degrees is 36 years old today. A lot of numbers in that birthday.
Sure.
J.C. Chazet of NSYNC is 36.
Boy band day.
It is boy band day. Another boy band, Jimmy Eat World, celebrating guitarist Tommy Linton's birthday, 37 years old. Scott Stapp of Creed is 39. The Edge of U2 is 51. Big musician birthday. Kool Moe Dee celebrates his 50th birthday. Drummer Ricky Rocket of Poison is 51. I think that's his given name, Ricky Rocket.
Yes, I believe that's accurate.
He's from the Rhode Island Rockets, old family. Dustin Hoffman, legendary movie star. He's 75 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
So Travis Pastrana and Jolene Van Voot come into the studio, and Kevin says, hey, how was the Nitro Circus 3D premiere last night? And Travis shakes his head, looks at the ground, and says, it's still going on, man.
Yeah, we had an awesome time. I think L.A. knows we had an awesome time.
Well, how can you not? Look, with your life, who could ever imagine you're going to grow up one day and have a Hollywood red carpet movie premiere, right? I mean, that's just not something that was ever on your radar.
Well, that's true.
How does a movie like this get made in the age that we live in with lawyers and insurance companies? How do you even begin to film a movie as crazy as the Nitro Circus 3D?
We go to Panama.
We leave the country.
Panama will let you do anything?
See, a six-pack of beer, you could be up on top of skyscrapers jumping.
They don't
care. Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah, whatever. Go ahead.
They're very Nitro Circus supportive.
Wow.
And we even have a hotel down there called Nitro City where you can do all kinds of shenanigans like that, you know, that you just can't. Liabilities and insurance here.
Where did you go when you jumped out without a parachute? Was that Panama?
I got everything revoked when I went down to Puerto Rico. Not quite far enough.
So it sounds like you're not joking. Did you literally research countries around the world and find out who had the laxest regulations in terms of the things you wanted to film?
No, we had a lot of friends down in Panama with the hotel down there, and a lot of Red Bull and sponsor contacts for us. So just really, we
budgeting too.
Yeah, well, I mean, it made it a
cheaper.
Lot.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
And it, as you know, we fully independent project, you know, funded. It was definitely better going down to getting the cheapest.
That's awesome that you found a place to let you do anything.
Well, I mean, not really anything. I mean, it's just okay, maybe. But
I've seen the jump between the two buildings on the trailer. Tell me about that one.
Yeah, it was 63 stories high.
Yes.
And going from one building to the other on a janky ramp on plastic rear-wheeled big wheels was
That's what always cracks me up, is you really look like you half-ass it. Now, if I'm going between 63 floors on a building to another building, I'm going to build that ramp for about a month.
Well, yeah, no,
so that it's state-of-the-art.
It usually happens in about a day, and then the main concern was that the big wheels could possibly break on the way down the ramp, because they are plastic toys.
Yeah, but I mean, the cool part about this being...
I'm just trying to get it through my head, because
in
the preview, every single person is looking around like, am I the only one that realizes this is a terrible idea and we might die? And
Jolene says because they're plastic toys, and that's Kevin's point, is that's why you don't use them. That's why you don't attempt this stunt on a big wheel.
True.
We don't really have an argument for that.
It just seemed fun at the time.
Oh, it seemed awesome at the time. So many of these ideas, they seem so much better, like, on paper. And you get out there, you're like, wow, I quit. No. But no, it was cool. With being self-funded, you know, we didn't have a lot of red tape that we had to go through. Like, with the MTV show, all the stunts we wanted to do had to pass safety. And there was just a lot of things that didn't
make sense.
Yeah, too much approval.
And I still love that show, but you're saying there was so much more you could have done.
Yeah, I mean, it was us, 100%. You know, if we wanted to do something, we weren't standing in our own way.
And neither of you are very smart when it comes to doing really dangerous stuff. Let's be honest.
Hey, we're still here.
We're still here.
You are.
That's true.
So when you self-fund a movie, so in other words, there wasn't a studio behind you that was paying for it, that was planning on releasing it. So does that mean you finish the movie and then you take it around and see who wants to buy it?
Correct.
And that's great because they know you've already survived and no one died, right?
Right, so and that was exactly what they wanted.
And insurance was a lot easier.
Scared the crap out of all the studios at first.
Right, and then you just say,
they
no,
don't want to touch us.
No one died. And then they go, all right, we'll buy it.
Yeah.
Hey, that looks pretty good.
Yeah, they're like, oh, that's an awesome movie.
If you guys are shooting a movie where all of the movie studios are afraid someone's going to die, literally die.
Well, I mean, we didn't think we were going to die.
Of course you didn't. Every movie studio was afraid of it, though.
Without a doubt, hands down.
What is the most dangerous stunt that you did?
There is a long list.
For each person individually, it was different.
For you specifically, Travis, which did you think I might die?
No, I mean, I think the most technically.
You've never had that thought, have you?
No, if you think you're going to die, you don't do that.
Yeah,
that sounds bad.
If we think we're going to die, we probably wouldn't do the stunt.
No, but I'm saying you guys have all done stunts. The X Games, your double backflip and stuff. You did things where you know you might not make it. I mean,
we're very confident people.
Right.
But you also over-enthusiastic and underprepared. Nitro circus.
You also had your lung collapse and you had a shoulder rebuilt and stuff. I mean, you guys are getting beaten up.
It's part of
She did
what
that
we
in the last
though.
Couple months.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about, Jolene, I heard that you weren't in this movie as much as you wanted to be because you were recovering from some horrific injuries, right?
Right. I had. We were on tour, the Nitro Circus live tour that we do, and I had a pretty bad crash and completely destroyed my shoulder. I had a full shoulder reconstruction a few weeks before we started filming. So I actually got to have stunt envy for a lot of the time, but I did my best to get in there and get in.
Do not let her fool you. She duct taped her shoulder to her side and went so big in this film.
What?
Like, she just refused. We're like, Joe, you can't do this.
She's
like,
got a surgery.
Watch me.
Duct tape.
It's great.
Yeah, literally.
It works for astronauts. I mean, come on.
We are talking about the film Nitro Circus 3D. You didn't hear us wrong. It actually opens on a Wednesday. This is not a Friday release, so there's no excuse to not go see it before the weekend. Travis Pastrana is here. Jolene Van Voot. Now, I understand.
Are we saying your name right?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Van Voot, but I'll take what you're saying. It's perfect.
All right.
Yeah.
Just Jolene Nitro Girl. I'll just call you that.
That works. Yeah.
I heard one more thing before the break. I heard, Travis, and tell me if this is true, that you had some initial resistance to filming the movie in 3D, but changed your mind once you saw how awesome it looked, right?
Greg Godfrey was like, you know what? Especially after just seeing how far 3D cameras have come and what we can do. He's like, our stunts would be awesome in 3D. I'm like, it's a gimmick. It's stupid. It's going to take forever to move the camera. Half of our budget is going to be in the 3D cameras. I'm like, no, this is stupid. And the first time, our first stunt was really in Panama, jumping building to building, which is a great place to start.
That was your first stunt.
Yeah, that was like, okay, well, welcome to the, anyway.
Could be last, but let's hope not.
Oh, man. And we saw the footage, and I patted Greg on the back. I said, thank you.
Did you see the X Games 3D movie that they had put out that you were in? I mean, that looked amazing to me.
I don't know the budget.
I don't know how much it costs and all that kind of stuff.
This was the first, really the first of its kind that really showed, action sports, if you will, in this light. And just with being so high and such elevation with everything and so much bigger than being inside, it makes your heart drop. I mean, it feels like you're really there. And I think this was a great application. You know, that's one of the things, even some of the tech guys that have seen it, just like, I can't believe how well this 3D worked. I mean, it's no green screens. There's no net. There's no anything.
And
it's
it was
just
filmed that way.
It was
a
filmed
lot of 100%. Movies do post production where they make it look 3D.
We went through the pain of filming with 3D cameras, which when you're in action sports and you have ADD people that you're filming, it was so hard to just like ready to just start pumped, woo, let's go, and then all of a sudden, wait, stop, lens flare, we need an hour, can you pause all of your adrenaline?
Wow.
And we're just like, what? We hate these cameras.
What is lens flare?
Yeah, what does that mean? You keep saying lens
can't
flare.
Can't we just roll with it? I'm ready to go.
Well, that's if we've learned anything today, it's be overly enthusiastic and underprepared. That's the way to go through life. The film is called Nitro Circus 3D. We'll be back with Travis and Jolene right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. It's Nitro Circus time here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Travis Pastrana in studio, Jolene Van Vuut. Also, we're talking about the movie that's opening up everywhere today. As motocrossers, do you have any interest at all in the Olympics? Can you watch most of those sports, or are they kind of boring to you because they're not loud enough?
I think anytime, anytime you're representing your country, is awesome, but yeah. My wife Lindsay, who's also X Games, gold medalist, she loves the Olympics so much, and I'm like, why am I watching this sport? I don't understand. Yeah. They are throwing something as far as they can and getting really excited. I mean, I race cars in circles, so I can't really say a lot to this.
No,
effect.
But everybody understands racing cars in circles. I mean, there are a lot of events like trampolining and stuff like that in the Olympics.
Handball,
water polo,
love gymnastics. Like I am in awe of those people, like the men and the women that do all those things on the horses and the beams and the bars. I just like, I will stop everything and just, I'm in awe of them. I wish I could flip and twist like they do.
You do. You just do it in vehicles.
Not so gracefully, and I don't land on my feet.
Well, you know, I want to do curling. I think it's a perfect...
Oh, you don't want to do curling.
Travis has this brilliant idea.
You don't want to do... We've made fun of curling forever.
I do too, and I'd still make fun of myself if I did it. But, okay, no, think about this. What would you do if you're an ex-athlete that, you know, you can retire, you've got nothing to do.
Right.
You can just go and you can occupy all your time when all the other curlers have to have real jobs. I could take a bunch of ex-athletes.
Right.
And we could just sit around drinking all day for,
if it was a drinking sport, now I'm in.
Is it not a drinking sport?
Well, no.
No, it is. I think it
is. It has to be a drinking sport.
It has to be, yeah.
I don't think the people who do it drink. Let me ask you about this quote, because this surprised me, Travis. I think you were talking to ESPN about the movie, and you said, once they see it, parents will want their kids to get involved in action sports. Are you high?
No,
people are going to go see the Nitro Circus movie. They're going to say, yes, that's what I want my kid to work toward?
It's pretty funny because, when people leave this theater, everyone is actually inspired to go out there to do... everyone's looking at me like I'm completely nuts right now.
I hope you put up a bunch of warnings
because
there are stupid people out there.
Well, it's right. don't try this at home, but go outside and learn how to do something. Get off the couch and live your video game. I mean, that's basically, we're not jackass just going out and, hurting ourselves intentionally. We're going out there as professional athletes doing stuff that we've worked.
Easy,
slow down. Easy. Yeah. I mean, okay, the big wheel stunts, maybe not so much. But
you're jumping a big wheel between two buildings. I don't know where the professional part comes in.
Yeah, but our disciplines come into play in that aspect of us. Knowing
true.
Ramps, knowing bikes, trikes, things with wheels, things with motors,
sure.
and we apply that to these stunts, and that's why.
And you spent a long time learning that stuff.
We did, and we have.
Still learning.
And some of the jackass stunts, I'm working this out in my head as I say it, but some of the jackass stunts, the reason they do them is because they know how funny it's going to be when they fail. You guys are the opposite. You do every stunt with the expectation that it's going to be successful.
Right. We always hope for a pass. We always hope to be a world record or the first for something. But we get great footage in our failures. But that doesn't mean we're not trying any less to make it or to make that stunt look spectacular or be the first to try something or be the first to just do something we thought would be really funny and scare the crap out of us.
Tell us about driving that giant truck. A couple weeks ago you were talking about?
Yeah, I got a call from Travis at about midnight saying, hey, do you want to come out and race some off-road trucks with me? And in 2 seconds before he was even done the sentence, I was like, yes.
You went the next day?
And pretty much.
Okay, I forgot to mention to Jolene that I was signing her up in the pro class, like the best in the world were going to be there, and she was driving a 950 horsepower truck with,
Don't you have to build up to that pro class by learning a lot of stuff along the way?
I lied a lot about her credentials.
Right. So you get in the truck.
I did. I got in the truck, and I was having a blast, and I was pinning it.
She was crushing it. I got to admit, I was like, wow, that girl can drive.
And unfortunately, I got myself into a little bit of a situation that I didn't have the experience to fix. I didn't really know what to do. I did my best.
She ran out of talent.
I ran out of talent massively and crashed it.
Maybe it was light about a little earlier.
Off of a jump, high-speed crash, rolled it 4 times.
End over end.
Ended up in the hospital with a collapsed lung and getting a chest tube.
So this is kind of this is why we do Nitro Circus, though, is to be able to do really fun things like this.
Right,
so
yeah.
we wrote this off as, yes, this is going to be press. This is going to be PR.
Right.
So four of us went out.
The truck was wrapped in Nitro Circus 3D movie stickers.
All right.
And the footage has played, and people love it. And I
well
had
done.
A great
Congratulations.
Time.
Congrats.
You had a great time until the end.
I've been wanting to drive one of those trucks for about 2 years. So I would do it all over again.
Did you guys come up with ideas where you all just went,
We have a rule for that.
The rule is in Nitro Circus, if you come up with an idea, you have to at least attempt it first. So before you go throwing out any kind of shenanigans,
yeah,
you better...
If you don't got the balls for the stunt, you keep your mouth shut.
I got you.
Interesting.
All right.
Now listen, we're almost out of time. Travis, the next time we see you, how much of your original body will have been replaced by science? I understand you're going under and you're getting everything redone, right?
Yeah, well, that's what you guys are just... everyone's saying, well, how long has it been since you've been healthy? I'm like, man, bionic man here at the end of the season. And, you know, I was actually too injured to race cars this year. I mean, I've been racing cars, no problem, but the shoulder's actually been popping out quite a bit.
Yeah, I've seen you put that back in. That looks so painful.
Good. Yeah, well, it falls...
just slam it against a wall.
No. It comes right in now. It's not even a problem.
Now
the problem
it
is it falls right out.
Yeah.
So
you're going to have that done. We were talking to Travis off the air about being healthy, and he said they're going to put me under once, and they're just going to fix everything. So Bean's question is, what percentage of you is going to be bionic?
Well, you know, shoulders. It was cool. You know, and I actually had a cadaver bone and in my shoulder, and then an ACL, you know, was also a cadaver. And I blew out my ACL, and I broke my collarbone, and it didn't really hurt that bad because...
they're already dead.
Because well,
you're more dead
time.
Than alive.
I was like, I can tell my collarbone's definitely, like, sticking through the skin, but it doesn't hurt that bad for
you're
some
half
reason.
Dead.
It's not his bone he just broke.
You got to get some of those springs that South African runner has on his feet, man. You can run so fast with those. I hear those are very popular right
that
now.
That might be better than the ankle you have. Right now.
Yeah, exactly. All right, listen, we're out of time. Nitro Circus 3D is in theaters now. Like you've been saying, everybody wants to see the Bourne movie. The Bourne movie's great, but just go see this movie first. That's all we ask, right?
That's all we ask.
Yes.
I can't wait.
Nitro, then Bourne.
I'm not kidding. I'm going tonight.
That should be the slogan for the movie. Kidding. Nitro, then Bourne. I like that. Follow the guys on Twitter at Travis Pastrana and at Jolie Nitro Girl and at Nitro Circus. You guys are the best, man. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank Travis
on.
Kevin, are you having a viewing party over your house for your girls' soccer game today? Are you having people over? Or how's it?
Are
we invited?
Today.
Or
it's not today. It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow's
gold
the big
medal
day.
Game. Come on. U.S. women's soccer. Come on.
Women playing soccer. Nothing better in sports.
They play great soccer.
They're the best. It's the best sporting event in the world. Women's
really
soccer is
the
best sporting
in the world.
Event. In women's soccer?
Yes.
Yeah. That's like winning the Special Olympics.
No, it's not.
It's exactly
how dare you? I have daughters. Of course.
Are you glad?
Great. Good for your daughters. I hope they play their brains out. I hope they have a great time out there in a children's game for little girls. It's wonderful for them. I'm happy they're getting
the
sunshine
US
and exercise.
Women
but let's
are
stop
the
pretending
best
it's a sport.
In the world.
You know,
are
my
you
daughter
glad
lets you swing on a jungle gym at the park. I'm not going to sit
saying
at home and TiVo the jungle gym competitions.
Are there some?
Oh, sure, yeah.
No.
Right.
We're
the
are
best
you glad?
In the world. We're the best in the world at women's jungle gym competitions.
I'm saying don't discount it because it's women's soccer. It's great soccer, and the U.S. is the best in the world. And the gold medal game is tomorrow, and F you both.
It doesn't conflict with your WNBA schedule, though, right?
Do they let WNBA players play in the women's basketball team in the Olympics? Like they let the professional NBA players play?
I believe they do.
They do?
Yeah.
Women must be the best in that, then, too.
I don't follow that.
Are we best at women's badminton, too? When's the women's
basketball?
Badminton gold medal round?
I don't think we're good in badminton.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show.
Before I beat you, I have some tickets to give away to the world premiere of Hit and Run.
Yay!
This is a brand new movie written, directed, and starring Dax Shepard. You know him, of course, from Parenthood, and we all were introduced to him in the Punk'd series. His girlfriend, Kristen Bell's also in the film. Bradley Cooper, Tom Arnold, Beau Bridges. Good cast, but a guy who leaves the witness protection program to deliver his fiance to Los Angeles, but he runs into some problems when he runs into his former pals, who are a bunch of dangerous gangsters. Hitandrunmovie.com is the website if you want to check it out. If you'd like to go, I've got tickets for the red carpet world premiere to the first two callers who call in at 1-800-520-1067. The movie's in theaters everywhere Wednesday, August the 22nd, just in case you don't win. Brandi Travis, at one time, boys and girls, was the biggest country star in the world. Sure, he looked like Frankenstein, but it didn't matter. People would listen to his records and buy them anyway.
Bean said 40 number one hits?
I think something close to that, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, remarkably successful.
That's before Randy met the bottle.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he's had an alcohol problem for some time. In fact, just last February, he was busted for public intoxication for allegedly boozing in front of a Baptist church, which really is just the best place to drink, I find.
In front of a Baptist church.
Better than a TGI Fridays when you go to a Baptist church and you just pull out a flask and just start boozing. Well, he's had some problems again with the bottle. Police say he seemed to be under the influence when they arrived at a car crash on, I guess last night it was, in Texas. Cops showed up. Randy refused to take a breathalyzer, so they had to draw blood in order to determine his blood alcohol level. He verbally threatened a cop during the bust, which is a bad sign. And what else? What else do you need to know? Oh, yes, he was naked when the cops showed up. He was buck naked. He had no clothes on whatsoever when the cops arrived.
What? Why?
How? Who?
What? He was arrested and booked on retaliation and obstruction charges, which that's a felony, by the way, as well as the driving under the influence. Randy's car was the only vehicle involved in the crash. That's the good news. The bad news, once again, he was nude when they arrived to the crash site.
Ralph, you've got an active imagination.
I do.
What circumstances can you imagine where that would make sense, even to an inebriated person?
You're hot.
I'm on fire. Put me out. Put me out. Oh, oh, Tom Cruise God. Oh, Oprah Winfrey. I can only imagine he pulled a Talladega Nights. That's the only thing I can possibly imagine. And he ripped all his clothes off.
That's awesome.
Look, he either had to be behind the wheel drinking nude, or after the crash, he said, I better get all these constraining clothes off of me before the police arrive. Those are the only two options.
Sad.
Those are
sad.
This is awesome. Sad.
Freaking it's hilarious.
Sad. It is. It's both. It's both.
No,
give me your keys.
Oh, no, I'm fine.
Yeah, no, give me your keys.
I'm driving.
Give me your keys. You're too drunk.
I'm okay.
That was a conversation he was having with the guy who took his clothes.
Himself.
Gary Shirley and Amber Portwood. I don't know if you know these names or not, but they are one of the couples from the legendary MTV show Teen Mom. Amber has a substance abuse problem. They gave her the option of a 5-year prison sentence or rehab. She said, I'm not in the mood to kick drugs. I'm just going to go to prison.
That's a bizarre choice, isn't
it? Yeah. You really got to love your drugs in order to say, oh, I don't want to give them up. I'll just go to prison. Her baby daddy, they're not married, of course. Gary Shirley has tweeted Barack Obama asking for a pardon for Amber Portwood. Now, there's something in it for Barack as well, because he promised they would have dinner with the president if he came through and would pardon Amber.
They would go that far as they to
would,
have dinner?
They would actually eat at the White House.
That's incentive for him.
He would just do the right thing. So no word yet from Barack Obama. I'm expecting an answer soon. I'm sure he's going to have to weigh in on this important national issue.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
What's your message, Barack? What do you have any messages for the kids?
White folks, and then there are ignorant mother like you.
Would have been better if I had the beginning.
No, that was
strong.
Should
I try it again? Yeah.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant mother like you.
You know, the people said, oh, that Kristen Stewart, she can just not be more unattractive.
Yes.
You're wrong.
I'm sorry?
Friends are saying that she is so depressed about her breakup with Rob Pattinson and her public affair that was exposed with her director of Snow White and the Huntsman, that she is so depressed she refuses to shower, hasn't washed her hair in weeks, and simply lays around eating ice cream.
That's how to get a guy back.
She sounds even sexier now.
How will we be able to tell, though, the next time we see her on the red carpet?
She is pining for her longtime love, friends say, and she has a sinking feeling that the relationship may be over. Yeah. Maybe, never mind, I can't even say that. I'm just talking about something sinking and something else, but I won't go there.
No.
Larry David, although he's taken Curb Your Enthusiasm away from us, he is giving us another gift. HBO is talking about his feature film that he's going to have on HBO, his comedy. It is not a Curb Your Enthusiasm film, but it sounds similar in tone. LA Times reports that Larry David will play a character named Lenny. So Larry will play Lenny. Very close.
Sure.
He's a guy who had a share in a company developing an electric car, but he gives it up only to have the car become a massive success without him. Sweet. Larry also says the film will be partially improvised, as Curb Your Enthusiasm was, and it gets even better. John Hamm will play the CEO of the car project, so we'll get to see John being funny as well.
Sounds great.
Can't wait for that. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we?
Huh? You say lick?
Yeah.
I was going to say Nick Lachey. And it turned out that it's his brother's Drew's birthday. It's not even Nick's birthday. And I would have said Lick Lachey had I gone for it. But Drew Lachey of 98 Degrees, 36 years old. Lindsay Stone, actress from Sabrina the Teenage Witch. She's 35 years old. J.C. Chazet of NSYNC is 36. Tom Linton, guitarist for Jimmy Eat World, 37 years old. Scott Stapp of Creed turns 39. The rapper Kool Moe Dee is 50. Ricky Rocket, drummer for Poison, turns 51. The Edge from U2, guitarist for that band, is also 51 today. Actor Keith Carradine of the Acting Carradine Family is 63. Larry Wilcox, who was on Chips with Eric Estrada, played his partner, John. Ponch and John. Oh, how I loved Ponch and John. He's 65 years old today. Actor Dustin Hoffman is 75. And Richard Anderson, another name from my youth. He was on The $6 Million Man, played Oscar Goldman.
Oh, he was the boss?
He was the boss of Steve Austin. He would send him out on missions for the OSI to track down Nazis and Bigfoot and stuff like that.
Did they ever track down Bigfoot?
Yeah. What a classic episode.
Really?
$6 Million Man versus Bigfoot?
I don't remember that.
Oh, it's the greatest episode ever.
Easy.
It is. Oh, I'm going to have to give you that episode. That's a special one.
All right.
You can get the whole box set now on Time Life Video. You can pick it up, so it's worthwhile. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have a comedian, Amy Schumer, in the studio. We have
she's funny.
We have Dr. Drew on the program tomorrow.
Hilarious. He's hilarious.
Andrew Siciliano tomorrow talking about the NFL.
Ugh. You understand preseason football begins this weekend, right?
No, it's crazy.
Already began. I watched the Hall of Fame game.
Hall of Fame game was the first one, right?
Yeah.
We got a brand new internet roundup for you, and we've got more tickets for the Honda Civic Tour with Linkin Park and Incubus tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.